Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes and it'll help us make Twit even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premiere Networks on Sunday, February 7th, 2016. This is episode 1260. Wow! Enjoy! The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a landing page or a beautiful website for your portfolio, your blog, your business, your online store. Enter the offer code TECHGUY, and you'll get 10% off. Squarespace. You should. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/techguy. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more. Why, well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. Skype out will work. Toll-free number means it won't cost you anything. 8888 Ask Leo. It's Superb Owl Sunday. And I like that. I like that. Superb Owl. Welcome. Super Sunday. Beautiful day. We're in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I can tell you it's going to be a beautiful day for football. A beautiful day for a tech show. So give me a ring. Our website is techguylabs.com. If you need help, if you have suggestions, if you're mad as heck and not going to take it anymore, this is the place to call. 8888 Ask Leo. A few people up in arms over Microsoft. Microsoft reported good quarterly earnings last week. They mostly made money in the cloud, although they did say 140 million people now are using Windows 10. They've been very aggressively pushing Windows 10, haven't they? So much so that people with Windows 7 and 8 get free upgrades. If you are running Windows 7 or 8.1, you will get a pop-up saying, hey, guess what? You get a chance to upgrade. Actually, you only have until July 29th. Five more months. Please, come on, upgrade. And a lot of people are. I mean, the upgrade rate is the fastest. The uptake rate is the fastest it's ever been for any version of Windows. You know, Microsoft wants you all to move to Windows 10. I'm not sure exactly why. They've done a number of things to telegraph that they will be. It would be a shame if you were not to move to Windows 10. One of which is to say, hey, if you are using an older version of Windows, we can't guarantee it will work with newer hardware from Intel and others, and AMD and others, because we're not gonna make it work. That's mostly to business, because it is true. Business sometimes will buy a new computer and then say, but we don't want the new version of Windows. We want Windows 7 because we know how to use that and all our software works with that. So that's who this is aimed at. And in fact, Windows users in business have to buy the new copy of Windows 10. It ain't free for you. But home users, you know, non-commercial users, people who don't have business licenses to Windows will get free versions, free upgrades if they're running Windows 7 or 8.1. And starting at the beginning of this month, on February 1st, Microsoft made Windows 10 a recommended upgrade in its Windows Update. Some of you may have already seen the side effect of that. Microsoft grades its updates. You know, there's the critical updates, which are really critical, important security fixes, that kind of thing. And you really ought to always install those. By default, when you install Windows out of the box, normally it would be set to do those critical updates and then recommended updates. Typically, those are driver updates that improve the performance of your machine. They're not critical in the sense they don't fix, you know, dangerous security flaws, but they're going to improve reliability and speed. So they're recommended. By moving Windows 10 from optional to recommended, you might say, well, you know, that's just, you know, giving it a upgraded status. It will also automatically install on most computers, most 7 and 8 computers. Now, you will be given, what will happen is the install will start, and then it'll say at some point, not sure exactly where, we're upgrading to Windows 10. Is that okay with you? And most people just say, yeah, whatever. Yeah, just, you know, hurry up. I got to get back to my solitaire game. And lo and behold, after a couple of reboots and some confusing error messages, including my favorite, which Windows has been doing lately when you do an update, don't worry, your files are exactly where you left them. That's an unintentionally scary warning. You mean they wouldn't? What? You mean it's possible they couldn't be? No, don't worry. It's okay. I did not destroy your hard drive. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Oh, well, that's a relief. I didn't know that was an option. So just a word of warning. If you do get that little message saying, hey, Windows 10 is being installed, is that okay with you? You might think about it. I like Windows 10. It has had problems. Most of the problems, as is always the case with a new operating system, are with older hardware and software, compatibility issues. But there are people who are running software that they just can't go to Windows 10. You especially should be paying attention to this. And if you're not sure, see, really, in the past, this is upsetting to a lot of people. And it's not like it's forcing. You're not being forced to, but, you know, you're being strongly encouraged. The reason it's upsetting to people is in the past, the way we did business with Microsoft was we didn't upgrade Windows. We bought a new machine. Yeah, you'd get a new copy of Windows. But we didn't upgrade it. If you bought a new machine, you'd have the latest version of Windows, and that'd be that. It's only, I mean, the people of my ilk, the enthusiasts who upgrade, you know, and we're kind of getting used to that notion now thanks to tablets and smartphones. Apple especially has kind of inculcated that feeling among its users that, oh no, every year you're going to get an upgrade, at least every year. And it's automatic, it's free, and you really should do it. You really should. And we'll bug the heck out of you. I mean, this is how Apple works. We'll bug the heck out of you till you do it. Microsoft's saying there are benefits to that, and I'd agree. By keeping you on the latest version of Windows, we can throw more of our resources to keeping that up to date and fewer to keeping old versions up to date. Developers of the third-party software, same thing. Oh, this is good because I know I'm developing for Windows 10 with its new and improved features, not older versions. I don't have to worry so much. It's just a very big change for Microsoft, which because it was so business-focused for years, took great pains to support older versions of software and older versions of hardware and older versions of Windows. They were kind of known for that. That was kind of like a big point, was Windows will work with everything, and your everything will work with Windows. That was the selling point, right? It works with everything. In fact, it's an amazing achievement, especially in the PC marketplace where there are thousands of manufacturers, not to mention people building their own, and so infinite number of possible configurations virtually. And, well, it'd be amazing that you kind of put a stake in the sand and said, we're going to make sure we work with everything. Well, that's over. Those days are gone. It was nice, but no. Everybody, let's all go to Windows 10. Some would call that leadership. You know, we're all going to move to Windows 10. Follow me over that hill. Let's go. Charge. Some would call it foolhardy adventurism. Some would call it extortion. Or at the very least, pressure. You have to decide where you stand on that spectrum. I have Windows 10 on most of my machines now. Although, We're continually hearing about the privacy fiasco that is Windows 10. Lately, fellow published at VOAT.co a blog post in which he analyzed the traffic coming out of his Windows 10 machine. You can actually look on your router if you have a sophisticated router. What's going on? What's Windows doing? And it's phoning home a lot. He turned off everything. He said, I turned off every setting when I install Windows 10 I don't want, no. Don't contact the home office. I would like an operating system that doesn't call home. In 8 hours, his base install of Windows 10 Enterprise attempted to make 1,619 connections to a one Microsoft address, over a bunch of Microsoft addresses, like hundreds of many hundreds of attempts to connect, probably thousands of attempts to connect. Even though he said, don't talk, don't call home. And some people don't like that. As an experiment, I put Linux, which is a user-supported, user-written, open-source operating system on one of my Windows machines at Dell. Runs very nicely. Doesn't phone home. Doesn't force me to upgrade. Just sits there. Just acts like a computer. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It doesn't even have a home to phone. It's homeless. It just sits there going, what would you like to do? Is there anything you'd like? Actually, it's a credit. It's amazing, really, how far Linux has come. It installs just without any effort or special drivers or anything on this Dell. I bought it in 2015, XPS 13. And, Linux Mint, which is the Linux I put on there, it's an Ubuntu derivative. Quite a pleasant little, very Windows-like. Very much influenced, you can see, by Windows. It's got a start menu. Yeah, you can start typing, the first few letters of what you want to write, what you want to do, and it will pop it up. It has, when you install software, it automatically goes into the menu, so, you can say, oh, I just installed a game. Let's see if it's there. And this is actually a good example. I don't have a games menu because there's no games on here. But if I were to install some games, let's put in my password here. Don't look. No peeking at my password because security is paramount. Got to enter your password before you install software. Don't you love that? Let's put some games on here. So this is the software they call it manager, but it's effectively the store. You can't call it store because it's all free and open source. But here's a lot of games, first-person shooters, real-time strategy, emulators, simulation racing, T-Worlds, Wildlands. You know what I would like to install? I'd like to install Minecraft. Whoops. That's a Microsoft product. Can I install it? Oh, I'm only looking at real-time strategy. Let's see if Minecraft's in the... Oh, yeah, look at that. Minecraft installer. Huh. Unofficial way to easily install Minecraft. Okay. Double-click that. I can handle that. Are you going to do anything? Hello? Oh, you're ruining my demo, dudes. Maybe because I'm still in search? Shouldn't that just install? Dudes, you ruined my demo of how easy Linux was to use. Oh, maybe it's already installed. No? Let's do that again. Store. Minecraft. Shouldn't really install Minecraft on my computer. Is it running? Maybe it's running. Oh, I see. I'll close that. Close that. Close that. I like these virtual desktops. I use those all the time. Oh, well. I can always just go to the website and start it. Look at there. Who's wearing a Broncos cap in the house of the Niners? That's okay. I know you're a Niners fan.
In it. You got to go for someone,
Kim
right?
Schaffer is here, and she's answering our phones, and she's wearing... I like that you're wearing a Broncos. Where'd you get a Broncos hat?
The beauty of... not being in Broncos Market is I got this super cheap at Ross.
Ross has them for sale.
Well, I could get 49er
gear. We don't sell a lot of them,
gear.
Lady.
I could get 49er gear across the country
pricey.
For cheap. But yeah, this, $7.
I'm mad at myself. I should have worn my Niners jersey instead of...
I thought about doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I guess there's a football game on today. Or as we call it, the Superb Owl Game.
Superb Owl, because you can't say the other word.
No, you could say Super Bowl, 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 Super Bowl. I can say it.
We're not promoting anything.
No, I can say it all I want.
Yeah.
But I like Superb Owl very much. Scooter X in our chat room came up with that one. Maybe he wasn't the first.
He's not the first.
Seems like that
might be. I heard it a lot this past week.
Yeah. Superb Owl. Hey, you've been answering the phones. I see we have a full board.
Full board.
Was wondering, is there someone you'd like me to start with?
How about Bob in Detroit with multiple Windows machines that need to be upgraded and lots of questions?
Oh, that's a great place to start since we were talking about that. Thank you, Kim Schaffer. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, I end up being the support guy for the family of machines. So I'm doing the in-laws, the parents, the brothers, the sisters, the whole shot. So I expect Windows 10 is going to be pretty interesting for me.
Yeah, because they all are sitting there with that pop-up probably saying, hey, you want to upgrade?
Yeah, and now that Microsoft is going to kind of force this on us, I'm expecting kind of a Windows Armageddon here in the next couple of weeks.
Well,
I've been trying to look at the download progress on a lot of these machines, and I don't see in the root of C this $ Windows folder where it's supposed to be downloading it to.
Yes. So that means it's not doing it. That's all.
Okay.
So what I should explain what Bob's talking about. A lot of people complained about that because Microsoft has apparently on some people's machines already started downloading Windows 10 just to be ready. And you'll find it in the $. What is it? $ window. It's I can't remember the file name. It's a hidden folder. So you may have it. Have you unhidden folders? Yeah, so you don't have it if you're doing the right.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean anything. I mean, if obviously it's going to download if as a recommended download and starts installing, it's going to download. Not sure what the rules are for who got it and who didn't. I suspect it has to do with the way it's configured. So $ Windows dot tilde WS in your root directory. Problem is that's a couple of gigabytes. It's big. And
yeah,
so people have complained, what is this, massive file in here? Why do I have this? I think most of your users will be, are they using Windows 7?
Yeah, they're all Windows 7. I try to force everybody to be on the same versions just so when I do the remote support, I have a chance of helping them out.
Smart. So you are effectively an IT professional, and a lot of IT professionals don't want this upgrade to happen. It's just going to cause headaches, and their point of view, reasonably, is, hey, it's all working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So what can I expect? This is going to get pushed to their desktops.
If you wish to prevent this,
there
is a tool called the GWX Control Panel. And you could install it on all their machines or have them install it on all their machines. And it is a one user's response to this whole thing. It's from ultimateoutsider.com. It's free. And the idea is it lets you control this GWX DLL, which is doing all the dirty work. So I would suggest, if you want to prevent the pop-up, it was originally created because it was so hard to get rid of that pop-up that said, hey, want to reserve Windows? Want to reserve Windows 10? It's yours, free. Want it? Do you want it? You want it? Get out of here. So people installed this GWX pop-up. Now, people sometimes say, well, all you have to do is remove, certain system updates. The problem is Microsoft can push new ones anytime. So that's, and so he's been keeping this up to date. It disables the Get Windows 10 notification icon. It shows you if you've got Windows 10 hidden and on your hard drive already. And I'm made to believe that it will also prevent this recommended install issue.
It's called GWX Control panel?
GWX control panel. It's from ultimateoutsider.com. It's a free download, and a lot of people use it. However, you might consider going to Windows 10. I mean, in the long run, this will be to your advantage. It's going to be secure longer. Microsoft's, I think it's probably more secure out of the box. It's going to have, I think, for especially for non-sophisticated users, some advantages. The Windows Store, one of the reasons Microsoft's pushing this is because developers can now write one application that works everywhere. Windows Phone, Windows Tablets, Windows Store, on the Windows Desktop, Xbox One. And so these so-called universal applications, Microsoft's really hoping to build a marketplace of those. Kind of like the App Store on iOS and Android. So all in all, it might end up being, you know, it's time to enter the future. Here's a thing you could also do proactively. Microsoft has a Windows 10 compatibility checker. You're probably familiar with this from previous versions of Windows.
Yeah.
You can always have, are all these people remote?
Yeah, they're in other states.
Oh, man, you really bit off a big one there.
Well, some of them have reached the ripe old age of 80.
Aren't you great? Yeah, so they don't want to change.
That's exactly
they
it.
They do not, and there's no reason for them to change. None at all. Windows 7 is the best version of Windows ever, and it's going to be supported till 2020. So you're really not in any, you know, urgent need to update. So I think probably that's what you want to do is get that GWX control panel.
Got it.
And install that on all their machines. You could do that remotely. It's a very simple, easy download. And it will just prevent them from seeing the most annoying thing. The reason it was created is this pop-up saying, come on, you want to upgrade, right? You want to upgrade, huh? Come on, you're going to love it. I think Microsoft might have pushed this a little. They know they're pushing it. And they've made the conscious decision to push it. And even to bite the bullet when people complain and just say, well, yes, I know people will complain, but it's for their own good. This is a new trend in computing I have not seen before, this notion of it's for your own good. And it really did start with mobile devices and security issues where people just had to say, you know, look, we've got to be able to do some of this stuff because security is such a nightmare and it's for your own good. And now it's going a little bit past that. You know, Apple just has been having a problem because if you have a third-party repair store modify your fingerprint reader, your iPhone might stop working. It's for your own good. It's to protect you. It's for your own good. Just keep saying that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's for your own good. Trust us. I think we need to do a whole Echo show. Echo. But we're gonna have to make our Echoes respond to Hey Amazon, as ungainly as that is. Because, yeah, every week Amazon adds new capabilities. It's amazing. So now you can order a pizza from Domino's, but you can order a pizza. I know, ew. Or you can call an Uber. So you could say, Hey Echo, get me a car.
It's going to be difficult today in the Bay Area. Uber.
Uber is going to surge prices.
They're going to surge prices, but they're also, a lot of them are protesting because they've dropped the fares, the drivers. So they're
boycotting?
They're boycotting. So they're saying down in Santa Clara, it's possible there'll be no Uber drivers.
Possible there'll be no Uber drivers. Wow. And you know, I can't remember when the Super Bowl has been 40 miles away from the NFL experience.
I walked through it all week this week, and I'm just thinking about
it. Was it busy?
Yeah, it was busy. I didn't feel like it was as busy as I thought it would be.
If you come to town for the Super Bowl, are you going to stay in Santa Clara? That's where the teams stay. Or are you going
to
stay in San Francisco?
What is there to do in Santa Clara? But, I mean, I guess they had some stuff right by the stadium.
The problem is getting to the stadium today.
So, I guess a lot of hotels had packages where they have charter buses going. I saw
all
the buses.
Oh, the nightmare. Oh, yeah. You know, it's so bad just for regular season games getting in and then getting out. We take the bus often.
Yeah, I've seen her.
Oh, my God. 2 hours out of the parking lot. It's for a regular season game. It's going to be a nightmare.
I'd have them drop me off a mile away, and I'd walk.
Well, we did that once. You know, the best thing we did was we drove down to, like, the Mountain View Caltrain.
Yeah, I did that for a concert.
That
easy
worked
in,
fine.
Easy out, yeah.
But I'm sure those Caltrains will be jammed, too.
They're going to be jammed.
But, you know, I mean, it's not more people than come to a normal Niners game. They're always sold out. It's the same number of people.
No, right? I think there's going to be more because I think people are just going to hang around the experience, the tailgating. Because there's going to be the, 60,000 that can fit in the stadium. But then there's going to be another gazillion on top of that just to be in the area.
And where the Levi's Stadium is so boring.
It is. There's Great America.
It's Tilt Up City. I mean, Google's right next door. I mean, it's all you know. It's Silicon Valley, but it's boring. It's nothing to do there except Great America.
Yeah.
John in Oceanside, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you, John?
Good, Leo. I'm a big fan of yours and your network. I've been following you since the tech TV days, and.
Oh, you're making me blush.
You do.
Thank you.
Well, I'm a pretty technical guy. I'm a sysadmin by trade. I followed some of your advice of having some family photos scanned. My sister brought over a giant box of photos, and I took them to sent them off to one of the online sites, and they sent me back a DVD and my photos back. Everything worked great.
Good.
I've uploaded my photos from the DVDs to my online places where I keep things. OneDrive, Amazon Cloud, and Google Photos. Now, most of the pictures, I don't know who any of these people are, and I need to find a way to share them with my mom so that she can tag them.
Who are these people, Mom?
Yes.
You know what Mom probably uses Facebook. That would be one place. You can create an album and share it with her. She doesn't.
No, she's not really a Facebook person, but she does have an iPad.
I would say Google Photos. Google Photos has a really great photo sharing capability. In fact, they duplicated Apple's photo sharing where you could create a shared folder where she can put, not that she's going to do this, but just so people know, where she could put pictures and you could put pictures. So you could say, make a photo of an event like a wedding and say, everybody, this is here. Put your pictures in this folder and everybody will have access to it. They also have good face recognition. Really good. So.
Right.
The reason you use this is she can you share a folder with her. She can open it on her iPad. She'll need to install Google's Photos app, which is free.
Mm-hmm.
She opens it on her iPad, and then there's a tag command. She says, oh, yeah, that's Uncle Lou. She tags that, and Photos will continue to search through the other photos for Uncle Lou's face and automatically tag many of them. It's very good.
Right.
So
right.
Does
that information get stored in the EXIF file of the picture?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think so. How could you get it into the EXIF? Well, once she's done the tagging, you can then export those images into folders yourself, and then use a mass EXIF editor. EXIF is the extended information. Text information that many pictures have. It's very useful. Your camera is already pre-populating it with the time and date of the photo, often information about how the photo was taken, what lens, and so forth. And if your camera has a GPS, it'll even put the location into it. It's very handy. And yes, it'd be nice in the notes. There's not a field for who is this, but there is a notes field to put Uncle Lou. But you know, you don't almost need to do that because Google is going to be automatically organizing this. So now in Google Photos, you can search and you can, I can go to my Google Photos, click the search icon, the magnifying glass, and, it'll show me some faces that I already know. And then I can add other, I could say, oh, well, hey, let me see all the Uncle Lou photos and it will find them all. You can even say, let me see all the photos of Uncle Lou in Paris. And it will do that, too. It's incredible, and it's getting better all the time.
Right, and I have used it a little bit, so that's great. My concern is if in the future I need to take these photos and do something else with them, that information is then stuck in Google.
That's right. Well, there's a second concern, which is that Google is squunching them. So you would have to choose Save Original Photos, and then you have to pay for storage because they only give you free unlimited storage if you allow them to compress the photos. They don't do a bad job, but see, it kind of depends. You know, if you want archival, you know, original copies, then you should tell them use original. And it's not expensive to buy a little extra storage if you need it. You probably won't.
Right.
And then you can export them. Yeah, then you'd have to use What you'd have to do is do a search, say, okay, see those, export those into a folder, and then now that they're on your hard drive, add the text to the EXIF file. You could do that. It's not horrific. There's a whole category of things that we do because we think down the road we're going to want to do things that we currently do, like print the photos. When in reality, eventually we're just going to let go and let Google. We're just going to say, I don't need to do anything with those photos. They're there. They're categorized. Anybody who wants to see them can see them. That's the end of the line for them. Mm-hmm. So we often kind of, you know, people burn CDs and say, well, if I ever want to remake this CD, how should I burn it? And I could tell you that, but the truth is, are you ever really going to want to go back to CDs? Probably not. We're moving forward, not backward. So I suspect the Google thing is so amazing. And so I don't anticipate.
It works great.
It works.
I also have six sisters that aren't very, and most of which are not very technical. And so they're interested in getting, you know, like a printed album of some sort. And I'm like, you know, so that's where I was wondering about.
Well, and you can, I'm sure, I don't know, but I would guess Google has that capability too. Yeah, that's a nice moneymaker.
If it's not there yet.
If it's not there yet, it will be. That's the other side of this is that, you know, they're going to continually improve this, I believe. Although you never know with Google. Sometimes they lose interest. They're very ADD. Sometimes they create great things and go, oh, yeah, we're bored now. Let's do something else.
Right.
I don't think photos is one of those things. And I don't think Google's going out of business in our lifetime. So, you know, the only thing some people might say is, oh, Google, now they know everything about Uncle Lou.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, so what are they going to do with that? I don't think that's not an issue. So,
all right, Leo, well, thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
I appreciate your help today and keep doing what you do. I appreciate it.
So thanks for watching. I really appreciate your support. Very nice. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. Apple will do some of these same things. Facebook will do some of these same things. But Google is all about, you know, kind of artificial intelligence and you know, showing off, frankly. There's no reason for them to create this photos service. It's a service you would gladly pay for. Why are they giving it away? Well, it's to show what they can do. And, in fact, the artificial intelligence is a big push now for Google. They've just their long time, 15-year head of search there, Amit Singhal, just left. He retired. We are now at this stage in these startups, these youthful, young, vivacious companies where people are retiring. And so Amit Singhal said, you know, I've had a good run, 15 years. I'd like to made a lot of money. I do work for the most valuable company in the world, and I happen to have some stock options. I'm sure he's thinking that. So I'm going to take it easy, be with my family. But they replaced Amit Singhal with an interesting choice, and people are praising this choice to high heaven. He's former artificial intelligence a genius, and his name is complicated. I'm going to read it, and if you're Italian, please do not laugh at me. John Gendrea, I think. He's going to take over. He's been running the artificial intelligence stuff at Google, and he's going to take over search. And Gendrea is beloved in Silicon Valley. So Google made a very good choice, widely agreed good choice, but also telling choice. That artificial intelligence is the future of Google search. What does that mean? I don't know. Smart machines. So Google's a company to watch. Google, Facebook, Amazon, and then to a lesser degree Microsoft and Apple are really interesting to watch because they have the resources, the money, the talent, and the ambition to do some very futuristic things. And one of these is, of course, machine learning, smart machines. Google's got all the data already. Data's key to this, right? If you have all the data, now you just need to make a computer smart enough to chomp it up and think. And I think they're close. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's why I say let go and let Google.
You were in a tie.
I know. How do you like it?
I can't see very much, but it looks kind of cool.
There's a couple of reasons I do this. First of all, I'd been sitting in my Trunk Club trunk, and I thought, in this shirt, too. This is all Trunk Club here. And I don't normally wear stuff like this, as you know. I have no style. What?
The sweater's nice.
Trunk Club, Trunk Club, Trunk Club.
Breaking the rule, though.
What's that? Checks and stripes.
Too many patterns.
I know. Okay, that's the other reason. Okay, wait a minute. There's another reason I'm doing this. I'm doing that on purpose. It's football. So for some reason, you watch these football announcers now, and they're all doing these crazy combos like this, checks and stripes. And I thought, I'm going to look like those guys on the football, the analysts.
I was thinking purple Ravens, the red.
No, it's just like these crazy. I think they're doing it because TV and foot and is colorful, and they're showing they have, you know, they're wild men.
I think mixing patterns is actually chic.
I think it's chic now. I think it's chic now, isn't it?
Because
it used to be
said
never stripes and checks. But you know what? I don't think that looks bad. Does that look bad? I think it looks good. It pops.
It's different without the sweater, I think. But it's really nice.
Well, that's the ensemble. And the gray hair, notice, with the gray
tie.
See, you think I just put my clothes on in the morning. You think I match the Garanimals tags. But no. I would like two shakers, white and green. No brown.
The sauces, not the contents.
Not the contents, the sauces.
So Papa Murphy's.
Is it good?
In terms of chain.
I would never eat Round Table, Papa Murphy's, Domino's,
Papa Murphy's.
Little Caesars. Actually, Papa Murphy's is a take-a-bake, so that's probably all right.
Well, and they have a creamy garlic sauce. As opposed to
That's good.
That is,
I like creamy garlic
very
sauce.
Thin, a very thin crust.
Yeah. I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled.
Right here, we got, if you want thick, you got Chicago. Yeah. You want thin, you got New York.
And somebody mentioned Luminoli's, which is, of course, incredible. We've had that. Somebody sent us frozen pies from Luminoli's that were incredible. Uno's is incredible. I like Chicago style. We have Old Chicago, which is quite good.
And New York.
And Sal's from Brooklyn. Sal's New Yorker pizza is authentic New York pizza, as close as you get it anyway on the West Coast.
My favorite.
Now, if you're in San Francisco, go to Tommaso's, because that's old Italian.
I love Tommaso's.
Isn't Tommaso's awesome?
It's never open, though. They've got such limited hours.
And when you go, it's jammed.
And it's jammed.
It's in North Beach.
Big wait.
But that is the old-style Italian brick oven pizza that is incredible. That's really good.
About a block from where I work.
Really? Oh, yeah, because, it is, isn't it? Yeah, you just go up Front Street. Yeah.
The other thing about Papa Murphy's.
Up Columbus.
Papa Murphy's is
or Broadway. Well, I like steak and bake or whatever it's called. Take and bake. I like the principle of that. We used to do brown and serve when I was a kid. They had brown and serve rolls. Remember that? They probably still have
them. They still have them.
I don't like chains. I'm sorry. Chains are never going to be good because you know why? They cut costs. They buy 8 tons of cheese.
There's a.
They're never going to be good.
I don't want to call it a chain because there's only like 19 of them, but there's a Chicago style. I don't want.
Uno's is a chain.
Well, yeah, but this one's called Pachi's.
Never had that.
Yeah, they have them.
San Francisco has some unique.
It's good.
Like corn.
It's cornmeal.
Cornmeal crust. Yeah, they have some unique stuff that I admire for on its own merits, but it's not.
They'll even give you some honey to dip your crust in.
Oh, God!
that I don't like. But.
So there's really only one. It's Pepe's Pizza in New Haven. You get a tomato pie. It's about this big with clams and garlic. And you're done.
Oh, wow.
Clams is a big thing.
It's East Coast. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Let's see here. Brennan is in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Brennan.
Hi. I got a new Windows 10 laptop, and my
Brennan. Hey, Brennan. Brennan, pick up the phone. You're on the speakerphone. Every other word's cutting out. Just pick up the phone so I can hear you.
Sorry. Got a new Windows 10 laptop, and that when we get to the camp video settings, it just closes my camera app out.
It just crashes it, huh?
Yeah. Like, it just starts up. It works sometimes, like now, but like.
What app are you using for your camera?
Just the default camera app that came with my computer.
Okay. Are you doing like Minecraft and videos and stuff like that, or what are you doing?
I don't have any other apps on there. I just.
Oh, okay. So that's probably either a couple of things. The computer is older than Windows 10, right? Didn't come with Windows 10, did it?
No, it is a Windows. Like, I got it for my birthday a few weeks before Christmas.
Oh, okay. So it came with Windows 10.
Yes.
Oh, that's good news. And the app, did it come with the app? The camera app?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good news. Because what I was thinking is maybe, and this is a problem a lot of people are having, the camera app wasn't compatible with the new operating system, but it came with Windows 10. Who makes a computer?
Well,
say again?
Toshiba.
Okay. You know, it's broken. So a couple of things you can do. Probably what you should do is go to the Toshiba site and see if there are updated drivers for that laptop. If it's, what they do, there's, so here's how it works. You've got hardware, you know, the physical hard stuff. It's a good name for it, hardware. And then you have your operating system, that's Windows. That's software. It's not soft, it's just bits, but, you know, it's not hard either. So it's software. And the problem is that Windows cannot come out of the box prepared to speak to all kinds of hardware. It just doesn't. In fact, it doesn't talk to hardware at all. It talks to a hardware, what they call a hardware abstraction layer. It talks to software that talks to the hardware. It has a translator. It's as if Windows 10 speaks French and all the hardware speaks German. So what you need is software that translates. Those are called drivers. And the drivers are written, it makes sense, by the hardware manufacturers because they know what the hardware needs. And they write, and they know what Windows expects. So they write the translator saying, okay, when Windows says do this, hardware, you do that. When Windows says do this, hardware, you do that. That's the driver. But unfortunately, this is a tricky thing to do, and it can cause problems, including crashes. In fact, it can crash Windows because hardware drivers are operating at a low level. So it's often the case that if, you know, you're running Windows just fine, and you try to run your camera and it crashes, it could be the camera software. It could be. It could be Windows. It could be. But it's most likely the thing that talks from the camera software to Windows to the camera itself. The driver. So that's why you go back to not Microsoft. They make the operating system. You go back to the manufacturer, the hardware manufacturer, and you say, I need a new driver. So go to the Toshiba site, search for your specific laptop, and download new versions of the drivers. Even if the version number is the same, I would re-download it and reinstall it and see if that fixes it. Now, it could be also that the camera software is messed up. And so if Toshiba offers, as it often will, companies, if they put their own special stuff on there, will often offer, you know, the downloads of that. And so you might update that. There's another thing you can do, which I would recommend, which is try another program that uses the camera just to see if it works. This will actually tell you a lot. So Skype, for instance, is free, skype.com. You probably have it on there. Windows 10 usually comes with it. But if it doesn't, there's an icon in your start menu that says download Skype. Try that. Download Skype. Launch it. And then go into the settings and look at the video settings. Are you seeing yourself? Is the camera working? Is the light on the camera? If it's all working and nothing, and Skype doesn't crash, nothing crashes, everything's fine, then it isn't your driver, because Skype's using the same driver. It's the camera app. If Skype also has a problem, can't see you, or the gets wonky or even crashes, then it is the driver, because Skype and the camera program both use the same driver to talk to the camera. Does that all kind of make sense? Brennan, that's kind of logic.
I can take pictures, I just can't take the videos.
So it works for stills, but not video.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like it might be the software more than... Get Skype and see how that works. That sounds like the software. And you're saying this is Toshiba software, it came with the laptop?
Yes.
Yeah. So there are other programs that will do the same thing that you can get. And it may just be that that program is damaged. You could go to Toshiba and get another one. There's one other thing that you will learn as you work with computers. When companies that make hardware, like Toshiba, make software, they often do a terrible job. That's not just drivers. That could be things like the camera app. That's why I often uninstall the programs that the laptop maker put on there. They often put a lot of junk on there. And, you know, what I prefer is just the plain Windows install. And then if I want a camera app, I want to do video, I'll get something else. Is it a tablet?
No, it's a satellite laptop.
It's just a regular laptop. And what are you going to use the video for? Are you going to make videos?
No, I just, whenever I do, for instance, if I make a video to my grandparents,
aww,
and they happy birthday or something like that.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
And it starts for a couple seconds and it just says, this is mirror 401.
Is it? Are you doing it in a browser like Internet Explorer, or are you doing it in a standalone application that runs from the menu?
Standalone application.
Okay. And it's a Toshiba brand application?
It's the Windows 10 camera app.
It's called Camera App. Yeah, I bet it's not very good. I bet it, you know, that's very commonly sold as kind of a value add by the company, and they got some intern to write it over the summer. It's not very good. The Windows 10 does have the ability to capture video. I think you might be able to find something that's actually built into Windows 10. I'll have to look and see. And then there are other programs that you can use to shoot video. You know, Skype would be a great choice. I wonder if your grandparents use Skype, because then you can make video calls to them. And with Skype, you can leave video messages, you know, just like an answering machine message. It's perfect for you Skype them a happy birthday. I bet mom and dad and your grandparents could get together on that one and get that working. But the first thing when a computer doesn't work well with the software that it came with is to go back to the manufacturer, Toshiba in this case. Go to their website and see if there's something better. I bet there is. Brennan, you sound like you're a good grandson. What else do you do with that computer?
I make some YouTube audios.
Ah, and what do you talk about?
Technology.
I thought you might. So you're not into Minecraft?
I play it every so often.
Don't get into it. It's addictive. My kids have been telling me about it for years, and I finally started playing it, and I was up the other night till 2 in the morning. That's not good.
My sister makes me play it, so I just play with them every once in a while.
It's kind of fun. All right. Well, hey, good luck to you on the YouTube videos.
Thank you.
All right, Brennan. Nice to talk to you. Your grandparents are very lucky. He's making happy birthday videos for his grandma and grandpa. I think that's nice. Our phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO. Actually, we have a great website, 2techguylabs.com. That's free, open to the public, no sign-up needed. And, Brennan, you could go there and you go look at the last question in the first hour from Sunday, February 7th. We divide it up by day, show, hour, question. So you can go look at your question. You can see your question, my answer. Afterwards, you can hear your audio and the video. And then people should leave comments. If you've got a suggestion for Brennan for a video program for Windows 10 that might work better, a way to leave video messages for his grandparents, that kind of thing, the comments are, I think, a big part of that website. And though it's all free, it's all open, and your contribution is very much appreciated because it makes it more valuable, a richer resource for everybody, even people who don't listen to the show. Again, that's techguylabs.com. Just to think of me, the tech guy, surrounded by Bunsen burners and beakers in a white lab coat with safety glasses on, going, that's it. Techguylabs.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Minecraft. I play Minecraft. Can't stop playing Minecraft.
Do you see the little message I wrote you?
Oh, I didn't. Where did you write that? In his...
I don't know. I can't see over there. The thing about Ellie. Is there a little message?
I did get the Blue Moo.
Okay, because she's on, but she was going to call back next.
Yeah, that's okay.
That.
I can only see the comment. But you could tell her I did get the Blue Moo. And like all, I installed it. And like I have the same problem with it that I have with all universal remote systems, which is your system has to be in a known state for it to work. And that's really not its fault. It's because the TV sets are on off as a toggle. So there's no way a remote can force a turn on. It can only force a toggle. So for these things to work, you have to turn off everything. It's okay. For $99, it's a good thing. I like the app.
I thought you had that.
I don't have that. I don't have any way. Right, which I don't.
I've invited her to chat with you through Google.
Oh, good. Yeah, so I'm using there is a built-in app. I don't know if it's a Toshiba app or if it's a Microsoft app. Let me record a video. Why is it having trouble focusing? Let's go the other way. Now that's photos. Photo timer. How do I get it to come out of this? No. Look at me, Windows. Thank you. Hi, my name is Leo, and I look terrible. Whose idea was it to put a video camera on this computer? Back off. What's happening is exactly what I knew would happen if I lost weight. The only thing keeping me young looking was all the fat pumping up the wrinkles. And now that the fat is going away, look at the bags under my eyes.
What's on?
No, it's zoomed in too far.
Oh.
Couldn't see the camera.
I wasn't trying to show it, but there you go.
Toggle, the zoom.
I am an ugly person.
Whoever thought video would be a good idea? Look at my bulldog instead. Well, it works on this. I don't know. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. Chat room pointed out, and I confirmed, that Windows 10 actually has a camera app built in. So if your Toshiba app's not working, you might try that. It's just called Camera. And it's available on the Windows App Store if you don't have it already installed. 8888, that was for our Brennan, our last call of the last hour. 8888, Ask Leo. So they're giving me a little bit of grief on my outfit today. You know, I'm wearing a lovely outfit. For a radio announcer, I'm well-dressed. I've got a red and black checked shirt. I'll just describe it for you. Red and black checked shirt. A gray and black and white striped tie matches my gray hair. So it kind of picks up the complements, the hair, right? And a purple sweater. And they're giving me a hard time. So what are you? So at first I went through a long justification. How it's hip, it's with it now, the checks and the stripes, people do that. But I've been told that just say one thing and it will shut up everybody. I saw it on Pinterest. Oh. Yeah, I saw this look on Pinterest. What do you think? Oh, it was on Pinterest. Well, yeah, must be good. Pinterest. See? Guys don't know this stuff. I'm learning so much. David in Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm great. How you doing? See, that's better. This is more like guy talk here. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. Let me get out of this laundry bag here. So I finally convinced my girlfriend after 2 years to transfer to T-Mobile from Verizon. She realized she was getting ripped off.
You know, I've been trying to talk my wife into doing that. Exact thing. She keeps complaining about Verizon. I said, try T-Mobile. It's awesome.
She's going to be saving over $100, you know, because her mom uses calling cards in Mexico and stuff like that. So anyways,
She has an S3 I-535 model, and we're going to hand me down that to her mom. And all she uses is WhatsApp and Facebook.
Perfect.
And I don't think those things get updated anymore to the new operating system.
The apps do, but you're right. The operating system will not.
So is there any repercussion of that? Like, because sometimes she accidentally hits and clicks things by accident. And
yeah. In theory, there is a repercussion. It's because Android isn't getting updated anymore. She's going to have an older version of Android on it, and there are known flaws. But you know what? In real world practice, it's not going to be a problem.
Perfect.
It's not going to be a problem.
I've been frustrating my girlfriend for the last 3 months because I'm trying to get her the like perfect phone for like $100. And she's like getting so frustrated with me because I go, wow, Leo said this, Leo said that.
Well, this is the bad thing about Android is there's all these choices.
Well, she didn't want to spend a lot of money. So she wanted to spend about $100 and get a 5-inch screen, which is her main thing. So, okay. And then I was trying to tell her, like, hey, you know, some of these phones don't have LTE speed. And
yeah, you do want LTE. Internal. Yeah, you really do want LTE. Yeah.
And as far as internal memory, and so I kind of was going to go with that Moto G second generation.
Exactly.
It doesn't have LTE, though.
Oh, well, isn't the third generation still pretty inexpensive?
It's like $179.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, and so I went with the Moto Prime.
Okay, I don't know the
Grand Prime.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that was available in the U.S. Okay. That's a Samsung Galaxy, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so it's a 5-inch LTE. It has 8 gigs of memory, but I'm telling her, hey, put everything on the SIM card.
Yeah, for $100, that's a lot. And it has a SIM card? That's awesome.
Yeah, and it has a removable battery, too, which is another thing that she wants, you know.
And what version of Android is on? That came out in 2014, so it's probably KitKat, right?
It's Lollipop right now.
Oh, great. You're golden.
But it doesn't say if it's going to be upgraded to Marshmallow, and I wonder if that's important.
No, Lollipop's fine.
Okay, cool.
I have a Galaxy Note 5 and a Galaxy S6, neither of which have been upgraded to Marshmallow. It's fine.
So another issue that I'm having, if you don't mind me asking one more question...
Of course.
Is that T-Mobile kept saying that this S3 is locked, which I confirmed. I put my SIM card, I can make a phone call, and it gets the data speed of the E.
It's called carrier locked, which means that Verizon, because they sold it subsidized, says you can't use this with any other network. But you know what? She paid that thing off a long time ago. So she brings it to Verizon and says, unlock this.
Well, it is unlocked because they said that they don't lock any of their LTE 4G.
They're not allowed to. The FCC prevents them from doing that.
Yeah. So we put the new SIM card in there, and I can make a phone call, and I can get data, but it says E, which is the 2G.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's probably an APN setting. So one of the things that you do when you change from one carrier to the other is you have to change the access point name and the access point settings.
Right. So I got to T-Mobile tech support, and I talked to this one lady, and she gave me it, but it didn't work because it kept saying the SIM is from an unknown provider or something like that. She goes, that means it's locked. I go, no, but I can make a phone call, and I can get 2G data, so it's not unlocked.
It's not carrier locked. No, you're right.
It's not. So do I just have to keep like calling tech support and try to maybe get a different person to get the right APN?
Or go online and look up the APN settings for T-Mobile. They're widely available online.
Yeah, so
this is where your girlfriend's a very lucky woman, because you are a smart geek, David.
I'm trying to save her so much money.
You're going to save her money, and you're going to be able to figure out how to do this. I think if it's a LTE device, you use fast.tmobile.com. Give that a try as the APN.
Yeah, that's the one I got, but it's not working. But okay. I looked online last night till like 2 in the morning. I found a couple more, but I got to just do it today.
Keep playing with it. You'll get it. The other thing eventually you might do on that S3 is take a look at putting a different ROM on it. Yeah, you would root it, not jailbreak it.
Root it.
And that's easy to do on the older ones. And probably put something like Resurrection Remix is what believe it or not, is the name of the program. And yeah, and it's designed specifically for older Samsung phones to give you Lollipop and a lot of nice features. It's really sweet. It's free. ResurrectionRemix.com.
Oh, that sounds like a good project for me.
That may even solve the APN issue. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a good project. Just be careful you don't break it, because then you're going to have to buy her another one.
I bought her that one a couple of years ago.
Oh, all right. You're a good boyfriend. Hey, David, nice to talk to you.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Thanks for all your advice.
Thanks for listening.
I'm also saving her for a DSL Extreme. She was paying $45 just for the phone line. Now I got her internet and phone line for $35.
See, this is about what it's all about, is empowering consumers. Because these big corporations are using every trick against you, including sophisticated computer technology. And if you're an empowered consumer, you can use their technology for your benefit by searching the internet, finding a better deal. Yeah. We talked yesterday. New York Times has a great article on how to call your phone company and your cable company and get them to cut your rates with semi-ethical techniques. They're ethical. They're using it against you. You should be able to use it back. It's really about the internet era has many benefits, many negatives. I admit, you know, this is the world. Nothing's perfect. But the many benefits, but one of the great benefits is empowering us with information. You can go to Amazon and read reviews of products from real people and really get a sense. Is this good or not? Really get an idea. Things like that. Yelp and restaurant reviews, it's empowering us with good information and empowering us as consumers to talk to one another, to help one another, so that we don't get taken advantage of by these big companies who know how to use computers against us. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this. Hey, our show today brought to you by somebody you're going to see on the Super Bowl. Did you see they have Kay and Peele doing their Squarespace ads? That's going to be so cool. We're talking about Squarespace, the place to make your next website, blog, portfolio, online store. Man, Squarespace is great. And I'm going to get you 10% off if you decide to buy. Sites will look beautiful, professional, state-of-the-art engineering. Things like mobile responsive design means you don't have to think about it, but your site actually works great on any size screen, from 3.5 inches to 55 inches and everywhere in between. And it just does it automatically. That's not easy, by the way. We paid a lot of money for that. And not on Squarespace. It's part of the deal. Hundreds of customizable settings, including fonts, colors, page configurations. It clicks into all your social media kind of automatically. If you look at my leoville.com, I've got a Twitter feed, I've got an Instagram feed, all that stuff on the page. The cover page feature is great, too. I use that to make my front page, and then I have a blog behind that and all of that. It's just nice. They have apps, so it's very easy to post using their apps, check metrics, moderate comments, all of that stuff. When you buy an annual subscription, you get a free domain name. It's hosting plus software to make the best place. And by the way, Squarespace Commerce, if you're going to sell something online, superb. Every site has commerce built in. It's the only thing I know of where your commerce really looks the same as your site, and it has your aesthetic. It's really nicely done that way. If you're a band, for instance, selling music, it just fits right in to your page. There's no exiting out to some funky-looking shopping cart. Great support. I can sing their praises highly, but let me tell you, the best thing to do, try it. They have a free trial. Just go to squarespace.com and then do use the promo code TECHGUY if you decide to buy, because you'll get 10% off. That's one word, TECHGUY, squarespace.com. Offer code TECHGUY for 10% off, and you'll be showing your support for the Tech Guy podcast. Squarespace. You should. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Let's talk high tech. 888-827-5536. Kyle, Brea, California. Hi, Kyle.
Yes, hi.
Hey.
First time caller, long time listener.
You've always wanted to say that, haven't you?
Yes, I did. Okay. So I'm not exactly sure if you're familiar with the, it's the 2-in-1 tablet that is made by RCA.
but it has an Android operating system.
I didn't know they made one. You know, RCA is not the RCA that you and I grew up with. That name has long ago been sold. I don't even know who RCA makes RCA tablets, to be honest with you.
Well, this one supposedly just came out. I've had it for maybe 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem I'm having, and I'm hoping you can help me with, is it's got two ways to charge it. It's got the micro SIM charger that you would use for an Android phone, and it's got also a little pinhole charger.
Okay.
Now, the pinhole charger sort of broke off the actual charger, so like the Android phone charger.
But it's slow, probably.
That's what I don't get. It does usually charge very well. See, I live in an RV, so usually I used to run the generator for an hour and it would be fully charged.
Right. Right. Yeah, there's more wattage coming in from the regular adapter than there is coming in from the USB charger. That's why it charges faster. When you push more electrons faster, think of it's like a hose, really. Uh-huh. So there's two ways you can get more water through a hose. Turn up the pressure and widen the hose. And amps and volts are, in effect, pressure and I think it's the other way around, but you get the idea, pressure and volume.
Yeah.
So you can turn up the hose. So that little plug actually was a big hose for electrons. USB is less so because, well, it depends on your charger. Now, you can get a high wattage charger, and that will give you a better result. You should look, if you look carefully on the charger that had the pinhole on it, if you read it, you might need a magnifying glass, but you'll see the number of volts and the number of amps. Watts equals volts times amps. So on a USB charger, since most USB is 5 volts, there's some that are non-spec, they're higher, but generally they're 5 volts. And yeah. then it's either half an amp, sometimes you might even get a 2-amp charger. That gives you 10 watts. But look at your power cord, and I bet you it was more than that, 40 or 50 watts. Maybe not. I don't know. It's a tablet. It could have been less.
Yeah, it says 5 volts on here for the original adapter, and I'm using a 6-volt house charger for like you would for a phone.
Okay. But 6 volts times how many amps? Because it's amps too, right?
It's all it says on here is 5 volts, so I'd probably have to look more in depth online.
Yeah. So that's, actually, the house charge, the one that plugs into the wall won't say because it's going to use as many amps as it can. Yeah, 5 times maybe 10, could be as much as 50 watts. So you generally, like the iPad, for instance, wants 11 watts. So the iPad chargers are 2.2 amps times 5 volts. So that's what you're going to look for is a more powerful charger. Up to a point, it's going to charge it faster. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If I may, I just have one last quick question. On these things, are the batteries possibly interchangeable?
That I don't know. Can you get into the battery?
I have not taken the back off.
Usually it's a sealed case.
It's a screwdriver.
Oh, nice. Well, then you probably can get to the battery. The problem, of course, is finding that it's going to be specific to that hardware. But you could go on eBay probably and search for it and find a replacement. Yeah. You know, almost certainly this is a rebranded Chinese clone laptop. RCA these days is owned by, or at least the RCA name in conjunction with laptops is owned by a company called Alco Electronics. I guarantee you Alco is not designing and building their own. They're going to Foxconn or some other Chinese manufacturer and buying 100,000 of their tablets and rebranding them. So that's good news for you, though. That means those parts are interchangeable to the degree that you could find, you know, parts for those tablets. Other companies are making them, in other words. So it's not, you're not looking for an RCA compatible battery. Look for the if you can open up and see the battery, and usually if you can open it up, that means the battery will be in there and connected via wire. You can actually look at the writing on the battery, and that's going to tell you something about the spec, and you could search for it on eBay. So that's, you know, that's, I guess, the name of that tune. That's everything you need to know about batteries and charging and RCA. It's not the Radio Corporation of America anymore. There's a long and interesting history of this. You know, General Electric bought RCA. I think it was GE bought RCA, including the NBC brand. And then NBC got sold off to Universal, and the RCA brand got sold off. It's all been sold off. And I think at this point, whoever owns RCA is licensing, because it's the same logo, is licensing the name. Remember in the 90s, there was a computer company called Packard Bell? Packard Bell was a brand name, a well-known radio company that had long gone out of business. But a Chinese, Taiwanese firm said, you know, it's probably better not to be called the Shenzhen Computer Company. What we need is some well-known American name. Who could we license? Oh, Packard Bell. People know them. And they sold quite well, as a matter of fact. They weren't great computers, but they sold quite well. This is similar. RCA, well-known American brand. Chris Marquardt, our photo guy, is just around the corner. We're going to talk photography with Mr. Marquardt. Answer more of your calls, too, at 888-ASK-LEO. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Chris.
Hello, how are you going?
I'm great.
We're doing an assignment review today. You have an email from me.
Oh, good.
Hmm. Interesting sing song we have today.
Oh, good. Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I have such a very bad habit.
What is it?
Actually, now, several.
Which one of the many ones several, do you mean?
But in conjunction with photography. So I've been looking. I've been kind of lusting for this Sony, the RX1 Mark II.
Mm-hmm. Which Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, it's a beautiful camera. I mean, I really don't need it because I have an A7 R2. But it's a compact camera. It's a fixed lens.
Well, that's when the want supersedes the must-have.
Sense? I shouldn't. Well, I haven't yet. I mean, I did, but I could cancel it because it's backordered, you know. But it's the same sensor as in the A7 R2, but the idea is it's very compact. You know, it's a point and shoot. I probably shouldn't get it. People are raving about the lens and the camera.
I mean, I'm the culprit.
I know. I'm
of
talking
you getting the analog cameras.
I know, I'm talking
the film
to a guy
camera,
who
so.
Probably is just going to.
I'm not going to say anything now.
enable all of this. I probably should just cancel it. It was kind of impulsive, but it's so little. So,
my stance on these questions has for a while has been, you know, I won't be able to talk anyone out of anything. So I'd rather say go for it. It's a beautiful camera. Sony has really done a good job.
I know.
Design. I mean, they look. Very, very nice.
It's not
nice.
Like this is that big. When you put the Leica lens on it, this isn't that big. I mean, it's still pretty compact. It doesn't, you know, the idea is that this, like, so to be unobtrusive, kind of. Yeah, I'm going to cancel it because this is a great camera.
What's frankly. The lens in it?
It's a 35mm f2, a Zeiss sonar.
Zeiss. Well, the thing with these Zeiss lenses is that
there's Zeiss and there's Zeiss. I know it's not.
Well, I don't have any firsthand information, but my main guess is here they're not made by Zeiss. They're licensed. They license the name.
Sony has the name. Sony owns the name. They can do it. Yeah. All right, I'm going on in line and canceling it. Thank you for talking me out of it.
That was easy.
Well, I've been trying to talk myself out of it by carrying this around with the 50mm Leica.
I mean, how often do you have this camera with you?
Not that often. That's why I thought if I have a compact camera, I might carry it around in my purse. That's my other, by the way, bad habit, purses. Hey, give me a good German name. What do the Germans call man bags?
Oh.
That'll be nice masculine name. That's a briefcase, really. That's too big.
Well, a long word, okay. So it's a handbag for men. It's a Männerhandtasche.
It's a Männerhandtasche.
Männerhandtasche.
No, Männerhandtasche.
Männer for men, Handtasche for handbag.
Männerhandtasche. It's my Männerhandtasche. Oh, this is exactly my Männerhandtasche? Yeah? Oh, yeah, my Männerhandtasche. That's good. Mm-hmm. I like that better. It's not so embarrassing.
I'm not too sure about that.
Oh, Lord. The Männerhandtasche.
It's a Männerhandtasche, yeah.
That sounds worse in English. Oh, Burke has been...
German is so logical, you know? It's easy to make up new words. You just stick a few together and you have a new word.
It's like a locomotive.
Did I ever tell you the glove, the German word for glove is Handschuh?
A shoe for your hand?
Yeah, exactly.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Here he is, the photo guy, Chris Marquardt from DiscoverTheTopFloor.com. Hello there. Thank you for complimenting my Hamantasche.
Männerhandtasche.
Männerhandtasche. Oh, yeah, Hamantasche is a cookie. Chris is here, as he is many weeks, to talk about digital photography. And in this week, we have
an assignment,
to review. What was the assignment?
Street.
Oh, I bet we have some good shots.
Well, yes, absolutely. There were a lot of shots of actual streets, as in, like, the street.
That's a little too literal-minded here.
Well, yeah, it's okay, and some of them are actually the third one is one of those that I really like. We had, I think, 75 people send in photos, and I've again made a choice of three to talk about here. Just talk about them. Nothing to win.
Photos on the radio.
Yes.
All right. Well,
makes sense though. I mean, it does. It does work on a podcast. Why shouldn't it work on a radio?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like the idea. In fact, I feel like this is a great excuse to go out and take more pictures.
Oh, definitely.
So who should we start with?
Let's start with a picture by Carlos Diaz, LA Street 2015-2. So what he did is he asked someone if he could take their picture. And that's one of the kind of styles of street photography that you can do. Take pictures of strangers. That's what we typically call a street portrait. You just approach someone. And in this case, it's a character. It's a guy with a cowboy hat and dark glasses, an older guy with a bright red tie and a mustache. And it's, you know, these kind of characters. When I see those people in the street, I usually have no hesitation asking them if I can take their photo because, you know, they are dressing up. They want to be seen. They are not hiding. They're not hiding from you.
You're right. And he's clearly happy to be photographed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's some people with like big tattoos or lots of piercings and things. Ask those people. Be brave. Ask those people. Hey, I love your earrings. Can I take a picture of you? It's easy, by the way, also if people are out with their dog, because you go and say, "Hey, what a nice dog! Can I take its picture with you?" And then they will often just be happy to pose.
Yeah, I like it.
Interesting category. I like doing these. I really like doing these. It's always a bit of a. It's always initially a bit difficult to ask people, but if you choose the right ones, and then you will get.
I want to do more of this, and I know you even do workshops on street photography. I want to take more pictures on the street. That's, you know, what I've decided is, so many people are photographers now that everything, and by the way, pretty good because they have great equipment and they're able to review fast and they're getting good feedback. So there's so many more great photographers out there that it now ups the ante for a great image. You have to kind of, it has to be something unique. Yes. So, and I like the idea of going out and taking pictures of people.
It doesn't really have to be something unique. I mean, everything probably has been photographed, but luckily not by everyone. So
right, but an Eiffel Tower picture is you know, I mean, it's hard to get a new take on the Eiffel Tower. But yeah, people but are these, constantly these changing, kind of things, right? Yeah. They're always different.
People are super rewarding in pictures. If you have people in your pictures, There's an instant connection. The viewer of your picture will have an instant connection to what's going on in the picture because they can relate. And that's much easier with people in the picture than with, I don't know, buildings or landscapes. So,
but
I love picture.
It's hard because either you are polite and you say, may I take your picture? And then they pose, as this guy did. Mm-hmm. And I don't always want to. I'd like more candids. Or you kind of take candids and then you risk the ire of people because you've intruded on them.
Or legal trouble, depending on where you shoot. But
well, if you're shooting in public, it's legal, right?
It depends where. Depends where. Europe might be a bit different there. No, but even then, if someone is doing something, someone's working, I will often make myself known. I will let them know that I want to take their picture, not necessarily ask them, but a gesture or something, show the camera, point to it. And then I will gesture them, keep on doing what you're doing. And then they, And then they will just continue doing it and no one will be the wiser. You will not really see if that's a real candid picture or not.
Yeah, because I really prefer it when you feel like you're watching a moment in time. I'm not looking for people to pose. I don't want to be a street portrait photographer. All right, but this one actually works great, and I like it. And nice job, Carlos Diaz. Picture number one.
The second one is by Jason Keith. Title is Chilling, and what he did is he shot a picture at the beach, but not directly at the beach, but above the beach, looking down on it, with two people in the foreground and a dog.
I'm looking at the wrong pictures. I'm looking through Carlos's portfolio, which is awesome. I like his pictures, but this is, we want Chilling. All right, here we go. Okay,
I like
this. Black and white, too, which is one of my favorites.
It's a black and white, which kind of takes out some of the distractions. And then it's this central point, the dog in the foreground. The two people shot from behind, they're looking down on the beach. So you have a kind of a context. You know where this is going on. The dog adds this. Well, if you like dogs, you're probably going to like this photo. It's just something you can relate to. People on it. I really like this. It's a very simple kind of picture, but it's one of those shots that you can, by the way, easily do with a camera like the A7R that you have, cameras that you can shoot rather silent with. So that might even be a candid shot. He just probably walked past, took the picture. They didn't even notice. The dog didn't care. So
you're not saying it's wrong to sneak up on people.
Well, that's good. Kind of I'm trying to be nice if I do that. I don't really want people in horrible poses.
I've known some famous street photographers, and one of them said he shot a lot of famous pictures of gang members and on the New York subway.
Bruce Gilden.
Yeah, Bruce.
Talking about
Bruce
Gilden. Amazing. Look at his photos. He sneaks up on them.
Yeah, but what he does sometimes, though, is he brings a portfolio of his shots, a little paperback of his shots, and he will sometimes show people, look, this is what I do, and I would like to have you be part of this. And now with these modern digital cameras, it really does break the ice to show people the image you just took.
Oh, yes.
They make them feel a lot better. They go, wow, that looks nice. I look good.
Bruce Gilden also sneaks up on them sometimes with a flash gun in one hand and the camera in the other.
Yeah. Very famous and really great street pictures. That's what I aspire to be as a street photographer.
You want to be the new Bruce Gilden.
I do. So this is nice. And he, of course, shot both color and black and white. It's interesting, mostly black and white. And then all of a sudden he's shooting in the subway and he's saying, you know what? I should be shooting in color because this is very dramatic.
His latest work is amazing. Yeah. I mean, they have really, really strong characters on there.
Really talented. But this is a nice picture. Well done. Thank you, Keith Johnson. And now, finally, for our last image.
Finally, it's a picture by Pauline, Stormy Street.
Ooh.
And it's one of those, I don't know, it doesn't really have any people in it. It shows a street light. It's on the level of the street light, probably shot from a window in the second, third floor or something. But it has this thing. It's, first of all, it's at night. There is snow. It's really hard to get snow or rain visible in a shot unless it's lit and in front of a darker background. So this is generating a lot of contrast between the snowflakes and the background because just the way it is, it's at night and only the snowflakes are lit in the foreground. They're moving. You see the motion. So you kind of get the idea that it's a very strong There's some very strong motion going on there. And then you have these icicles, these small icicles hanging off of the light. And in, you see in those tiny little, in the ends of the icicles, you see these little stars, which you can kind of make when you shoot with a small aperture.
We got to take a break. Chris, hang on, though, because I want a new assignment for next week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Sorry, we ran out of time there. I apologize.
Did we cut it off in the end?
Well, you heard me talk. I didn't cut you off. Just stopped.
No. Did we end?
Oh,
in
we
time?
Made it. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And then, but hang on, because I want to get an assignment.
No worries.
And then I'll let you go. It wasn't Bruce.
No worries.
It wasn't Bruce Gilden. It was.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, although his stuff is amazing. But the guy
his latest
I
stuff. Have you seen his latest stuff?
Oh my God! I was just looking at it. Incredible!
This is these characters are just like wow. How did he even get these to be as like as close?
Well, he jumps them.
Well, no. These are not. People who agreed to have their photos taken. The latest work of him.
Yeah.
He didn't surprise them. He asked them and then went close up and shot with a flash and is
amazing.
I mean. Well, not just amazing, it's kind of scary. Some of those are really scary.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I met the guy, we interviewed him at the Nordic Light Festival in Norway. And I thought his name was Bruce, that's why.
Oh, in Norway. I'll be there in June.
Oh, for a festival, a conference? Or?
Oh, for a tour. Photo tour.
Oh, fun. Yeah, we had a great time. This was on the West Coast. Beautiful area.
Hurtigruten.
Ah, we took the Hurtigruten.
Hurtigruten.
Lisa will never forgive me.
was it a small old post boat? Or?
No. It's a decent boat, but it wasn't. You know, she got a little seasick. She and Catherine Hall both got a little queasy. Bruce Davidson. That's what I'm thinking of.
Chumley. Oh,
thank you, Chumley. Really amazing. Amazing stuff. And he was a guy. Yeah, you'd recognize. Here, I'll pull up some of his. You'd recognize his.
Oh, yeah, I know. Of course.
Also a Magnum guy like Gilden. Yeah. And some very famous stuff. But a lot of gang stuff and New York City subway stuff. And, you know, just beautiful stuff. He was very inspiring. I interviewed him in an old lighthouse.
Oh.
And he was very inspiring. Somewhere we have that interview. On our twit photo thing.
Yep.
So what do you want to do next time? I should have done some of these street stuff.
You mean the next assignment?
Yeah.
Water.
Wawa.
Water.
Love it.
I thought it's winter, but not really. So we have more rain than snow right now. So why not do something water themed? So no new camera. Now I feel bad.
I canceled it.
I feel so bad.
No, because this is as good as it gets. I don't need. And it's fairly portable. I mean, the only difference would be that thing would be slightly more portable. That's all.
Mm.
It's the same sensor.
And the lens wouldn't by far be as good.
Wouldn't
as
be as
that
good
one.
As a lens as this.
No.
This is a 50 f/2. That was a 35 f/2. Not such a big difference there. I think this
so
is
no more
fine.
Excuses now. It's not
know,
the camera.
I know. It's me. I don't want to admit it, but it's me.
No. I've seen a lot of your pictures lately that are just...
I'm happy with many of my good. Shots. I just...
No, you're spending some time with photography, I can tell.
I love it. I just love it. All right, here we go. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, we're going to get right back to the phones in just a second, but we ran out of time. We were doing our photo assignment with Chris Marquardt. Three gorgeous images. By the way, links to those images on our website, techguylabs.com. If you'd like to look at them, they're all on Flickr. But as always, we need a new assignment. Every month, Chris gives us an assignment. We have 4 weeks to take images, take the best of those images, and then upload them to our Flickr group, the Tech Guy group, and he'll pick three for review in about a month. What do you want to do this week or this month?
Well, you know, here in Germany, we don't have a proper winter this time around, so it's more like raining than snowing, so I thought water might be a good thing.
Water. Yeah, that's a good. That gives you a lot to play with. That could be. And we don't.
Water comes in so many shapes and forms,
We don't say, you know, what it has to be, just whatever that means to you. But here's the thing. It should be a new photo, a new image. And when you get one you like, you can do as many as one a week, upload it to the Tech Guy group. And Renee Silverman, our moderator, will thank you, welcome it. And by the way, put water in the tag there so we know what to look for. Hey, thanks, Chris. You find him at discoverthetopfloor.com. He's got great workshops, lots of beautiful photography, books for sale, some to benefit, Kathmandu, lots of great stuff at discoverthetopfloor.com. Thank you, Chris.
All right.
We'll see you next week. Take care. All right, back to the phones we go, and it's, let's see, George in Santa Monica, who's been hanging on the
longest.
Good
afternoon, Leo.
Hi, George.
I was just wondering, does the Windows 10 offer a rescue disk?
No.
If I,
you doesn't. Have to make one, but the good news is it's easy to make one.
Oh, okay. Like my Windows 7, they offered me one, so I went and made the disks for Windows 7.
Yeah. So you can do that still, probably nowadays I'd make a USB key because they're cheap, they're fast, they're and almost all new computers can boot. In fact, all of them can boot from a USB key. But the nice thing is Windows 10 gives you a lot of good recovery options. It's a much better system this time around. So if you, for instance, want to make media, you can. It's called the Recovery Media Center.
Okay.
And you can just hit the Windows key and type Recovery Media Center, and you'll get right to it. It'll help you make those disks. That's one way to do it, or USB key. It says create a recovery drive. But remember, there's also a recovery partition that's always there. And so you're really – Windows 10 has responded to what I considered a major issue, which is that many PCs were sold without boot disks. And that is – so if you've got a new computer and you didn't get boot disks and very few people do, make one. Make – and a boot USB key is fine. You'll need an 8-gigabyte key, but those are $10, $20. They're not expensive.
Okay.
And you can keep it around and use it, and that's very important.
My other question, should I – right now, reboot the Windows 7, you know, and clear out everything and start from fresh, then upgrade to Windows 10.
You have the choice. You can even do a clean install on Windows 10 if you'd prefer. That would be the best way to do it.
Oh, okay.
So the way to do that is to the upgrade now to Windows 10. Just do it. And you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not a clean install. That's just installing Windows 10 on top of that, all that old cruft. That's true. But what you've done by doing that is you've registered your computer with Microsoft as a official Windows 10 user. So the way this Windows 10 upgrade works is it's not associated with you, it's associated with your hardware. So once you do the upgrade, then Microsoft and it activates. Wait till it activates. But now Microsoft knows you own Windows 10. So the next step is to go to Microsoft's website and download the Windows 10 ISO file. That's a disk image in a file. It's going to be 3-4 gigabytes, so it's pretty big. You can download that. You can use that to make your boot disk. That's or boot media if you want. But you can also use that to install a clean version of Windows 10 by wiping off the drive and installing that. And the nice thing is because you already activated it once, Microsoft goes, "Oh yeah. This is the same computer. He's good. He's good. Let him in."
Can I make you a real quick comment?
Sure.
I think I met you out at the Ontario Airport prior to you moving to the cottage. I don't know how many years ago.
Well,
talking about doing podcasts there.
It's very likely because the first podcast expo was in Ontario.
Yeah.
Not Canada.
At the airport.
In Ontario, California. And we flew down for that event. So very, very likely, if you did meet me, that was on my way or leaving the podcast expo, the very first one.
Yes, yes.
Way back when, that'd almost be 10 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago.
Yes, so yeah. It was. Okay, well, talk. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, George. Nice to talk to you again.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah, take care. Bye. As they say, I don't have a dog in that hunt, but that makes it even more fun because you don't mind what happens, right? Yeah. Oh, well, we had our Super Bowl a few years ago. My wife and I went to New Orleans to watch the 49ers, and we did have a dog in that hunt. Man, that was painful. That hunt did not end well. Glenda Aliso Viejo, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Leo. I have a question regarding the upgrade to Windows 10.
Yes.
I'm really concerned about the software issue because I went from a Vista laptop right to an 8.5. That's what I have right now. I have an Acer 8.5, so that was quite a jump.
Yes.
But when I did that, I lost the capability of using my printer, my, you know, all-in-one printer. So
yes.
I had to go out and buy a whole new deal. So
yes.
I went out and bought an HP printer scanner, all of
Here's
that.
Here's the good news. Everything, if you're using Windows 8 now,
yeah,
everything will work with Windows 10.
Oh, cool.
So as long, the problem would be if you still had Vista stuff, like that old printer. But you've upgraded so that everything works with Windows 8, 8.1, you're going to be fine.
Okay, I said 8.5. Was I wrong?
Yeah, it's 8.1. That's fine. I understood what you meant.
Sorry. oh, perfect. Okay, so, and then my other question is, to get this thing upgraded to Windows 10, how long does that process take? Because I don't want to wake up in the morning and I use my laptop for work and I get on there and the whole thing is all screwed up.
It takes an hour. It depends on your bandwidth, you know, how long it takes to download. It's not too bad. I would do it while you're awake because it does ask some questions.
Oh, okay, good.
But, you know, while you're watching the Super Bowl, that's a good time to do it. Every once in a while, look down and you'll see it. You'll see the wonderful message that I mentioned before. Don't worry, all your files are safe. Well, thank you.
I heard you say that. Yeah.
Your files, it's a very funny message. All your files are right where you left them. And,
right.
And it's the strangest thing for Microsoft. But I guess what people were saying is, hey, are my files going to be where I left them? Yes, they are.
I heard you say that earlier, but for some reason, when I listened in a while back, I thought it was this big, long process.
It depends. You have to download it, so it's a few gigabytes, although, as we have mentioned, in many cases, it's already on your hard drive. Surprise. And then the process is a little bit lengthy. It's actually faster than it used to be because ever since Windows 8, Microsoft has provided an image file of the operating system. So it's much faster than the file-by-file copy that it used to be. Nevertheless, there is a bit of churning after the install to kind of get everything set up. I'd say an hour would probably be plenty.
Okay. And then I remember in the beginning when it first came out, you said, don't do it right away. Hang out.
Yes, you've waited long enough.
I've waited long enough. Yes. I think it's
safe. What we were waiting for is the first big update, which came out in October, and that's out now. And I think that there have even been more updates since then. And Windows 10 is very stable. And if everything's working in 8.1, you're not going to have any problem at all.
Okay. And then the other question I have, this is not related at all, but do you know of a good app for e-faxing? I have an iPhone. Is there one that you recommend?
E-fax? Like you don't want to have a piece of paper. Or are you going to take a picture with your iPhone and fax that?
You know, whatever works, to be honest.
Okay.
I really want to get rid of this old fax method that I'm using.
Yes, get rid of those.
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
I just haven't done it, and I'm not really sure what I'm doing. So I thought maybe there was an app that you could recommend for. Right now I have a five.
An iPhone 5? There is something called iFax. I've been using eFax, but I've been told by many people that eFax is way overpriced. It was like $10 a month, but it gives you a phone number that people can send faxes to, and then the faxes are converted to an email. If you do a lot of faxing, you know, a service like eFax is worth it, and they have an app. But there are other apps like iFax that will actually do everything you need. I don't know what the – let's see – you know, you have to pay for the faxes. An outbound fax costs $2. So if you don't do a lot of faxing, You know, you only do one or two faxes every once in a while. This is the iFax is probably a good solution. If you do a lot of faxing and you need a lot of capability, as sometimes I used to anyway, a service like eFax where you pay by the month might be more affordable. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So iFax, for the very occasional fax, because you don't have to pay a monthly fee. eFax, if you do, if you're a realtor or something, and faxing is unfortunately still a part of your life. I mean, look at the in-app purchases. Outbound fax. No, it's a, well, it's hard to say. I guess I have to install it and find out. Fax up to 5 pages, 99 cents. Outbound fax, 99 cents. Fax up to 10 pages, $2. And incoming fax numbers, $18. That's, now we're getting into eFax territory. Outbound fax, incoming fax number, fax up to 15 pages. Yeah, you basically pay as you go. But if you only have to send a fax once, you know, once very rarely, iFax is a nice way to do it. And it's got cover sheets and all that stuff. There are others. eFax is what I continue to use. They probably now have a pay-as-you-go. Oh, if you're a healthcare provider, Doximity provides free HIPAA-compliant fax services. That's nice. Let me see what the eFax app, it probably has. You could get a fax machine, if you don't mind curly paper. Oh, you're right. I should. Thank you, Mike. Good suggestion. Oh, they are chopping the ads out of the live stream? Well, I'm not surprised. I'll tell you why. Yeah, it's all about the money. If you don't pay, you don't pay for the stream, you're not getting it.
Radio's the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Different ads for the stream. No freebies. A 30-second ad is $50 million? No, that's not right, is it? That can't be right. No, it's not right. Oh, maybe it is. Super Bowl ad costs soar. $5 million, not 50. $5 million. That makes more.
I think they said it cost like $3,000 way back when.
Wow. 114 million viewers saw the game last year. So this year it's $5 million up to, you know, of course, that's if you bought one ad, $5 million. If you buy a package, we'll throw in a cigar and a free trip to Tampa. $5 million. 50 would be quite a bit. I don't know if you could sell $50 million ads. That's more than our ads. Well, hey, how are you? I don't know why I can't talk. Hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, anything with a chip in it. Give me a ring. 8888 Ask Leo. We'll talk high tech. A lot of Windows 10 conversation today. A lot of people thinking about it, saying, well, I guess I'm going to give in. Microsoft's really pushing this sucker. There must be something good about it. It is good. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not crazy about the high pressure sales tactics, but they are giving it away, right? So you can't. It's not even really sales tactics. But if you do want some help installing Windows 10 or advice on whether to install Windows 10, 8888 Ask Leo. Our website is techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. Annie's in Koreatown. Hi, Annie. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. It's much more interesting listening to you on the phone than on KNX.
Oh, yeah. You get all the interesting stuff, don't you? By the way, it's It's KFI. Make sure you write that down properly. Oh. KFI.
I'm sorry. I switched.
Those are the other guys across town. We don't like them.
I switch sometimes.
That's okay. I'm just teasing you. I just know Robin Bertolucci, our boss there at KFI, would be mad if I let you get away with that. What can I do for you?
Okay. This is an old-fashioned thing. Chrome is going to stop supporting XP.
Right.
And I'm over 72. I cannot afford a new computer and my old software, my old graphic software.
You stay with XP. Don't let anybody talk you out of it.
It won't work on the new...
I know. And they haven't updated XP, of course. They've stopped with the support.
Yes. And your advice was to use Chrome, which I have been doing.
But I know.
Chrome has announced, like, Microsoft.
Right. It's going to happen eventually. Nobody's going to update their software. So your decision is, do I continue to use the old version, which you could, by the way. That's what you're doing with XP.
Actually, I have a Windows 7, which I hate because I can't use my graphic software that I count on. It's not.
Yeah. No, I understand. What is the graphic software? What do you do with it?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's called Clip Tracker, and there's nothing else compatible. They went out of business, I guess, but it's this clipboard thing that sits in your tray, and it shows everything you put on the clipboard, whether it's text or images, and then you can copy it.
And I love that, because you can just pile up the clipboard with stuff and then paste it as needed.
Yeah, you keep it.
Yep.
And when I'm working on an image, I'm an artist, old but an artist, and I use a computer. And so when I'm working on something, you know, and I copy it to the clipboard, then I can see it and save it.
Yes. Yes.
So, but I have not been able to find anything compatible, and I don't, you know, I'm too old to learn how to program. I'd make one.
I'm sure if we search for it, we will find you something, but that's not...
I've looked.
That's neither here nor there. You should be able to keep using XP. So let me tell you what you can do. First of all, you can continue to use Chrome. It's not going to stop working. It's just not going to be updated.
Oh, because I've got, you know, every time I open Chrome, there's this notice, you know, we will no longer work.
I can't promise you they're not going to do that anymore. You could go to Firefox. I believe Firefox, which is very similar to Chrome, very good.
I needed a recommendation.
Yeah, I believe that will be updated for some time. That's,
I was searching all last night for different browsers, and there's tons.
That's an open source program, so that's more likely to stick around.
Is it easier?
It's the same.
Like Chrome?
Yeah, it's just like Chrome. The real advantage Chrome has is that Flash is built in.
Yeah.
And Flash, which has always been a security risk, is automatically updated. So Chrome was updating itself and Flash behind the scenes without telling you and keeping you safe. And you're going to lose that.
Well, I always update Flash anyway on my old IE, you know, individually.
Yeah, you kind of have to with IE. But try not to use IE.
Oh, no, I know. But I just use it to update, you know.
Okay. You have to sometimes. I know.
But they're going to stop.
And Firefox updates Flash automatically, too. So Firefox will be fine.
Now, I came across something called SlimJet. Have you heard of that?
No. What does that do?
Well, it's a
it's a third-party browser. It's based on Chrome. Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, there was something called Slim Browser, which I found on Major Geeks, and that it won't work on XP, so they have something called SlimJet.
SlimJet's good, actually. It's based on the open-source version of Chrome, which will be kept up to date.
Okay.
So I think SlimJet is okay, too. Okay. Just keep an eye on it and make sure it's getting updated.
Okay, because that's what the features and stuff on the SlimJet at the site sound.
Well, it's got ad blocking built in, which is kind of
nice.
You better apologize. Now Robin's going to really yell at me.
No, because on my XP.
I don't care. Go ahead. I use ad blockers too.
I don't have enough power.
Yes, of course. You don't have to justify it. It's fine. So here's the deal. As long, and you probably heard me say this, as you're not running as an administrator, you can continue to use XP to the cows come home.
But I tried.
It's too hard.
I totally messed up my computer and lost a lot of stuff on the.
I'm gonna guess that you are wise in your ways, and you're not gonna install software from strangers.
No.
You're not going to weirdo sites.
No.
And you're careful when you get an email. You don't just click the link in the email, even if it looks like it came from your bank, right?
I use DSL, and now they have Zimbra email, and they filter really good.
Good. You're probably okay.
Another thing. Zimbra, there's this thing called Discus, and there's certain browsers that I haven't checked, but there's certain browsers that won't work with this.
Yeah, it's a fairly modern. It uses kind of state-of-the-art features. But it should work fine in any browser you download today, including Firefox or SlimJet.
That's what I was wondering, too. Yeah. Oh, great. Well, happy Chinese New Year's.
Thank you, too.
It may be superb owl, but tonight it's going
to be... Gong Hei Fat Choi tonight.
It's going to be...
It's so nice to talk to you. What kind of art do you do, Annie?
Well, I used to do paintings, but I got very sick from... the oils and the paint.
Oh, dear.
Fumes.
Yeah.
So I had to switch to computer.
Oh, good.
Which was a saving thing.
Sure.
I don't do anything, fast.
What program do you use to paint?
Oh, I have several.
My mom, for a long time, used Dabbler, which she loved. She's also an artist.
Yeah, I know. I like that.
Yeah, and there's Art Rage, which is kind of like Dabbler.
No, I was using mostly Paint Shop Pro.
Paint Shop Pro is fantastic.
Yes, but then, Corel got it. And
I know. Corel got a lot of them. So
I have the latest, not X8, I'm not doing that, but I got... The latest one.
Painter, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I got the latest ones, but mostly, actually, I do a lot of, collage.
Oh, neat.
I do images. It's flat painting. I do a lot of, I do a lot of collage and found stuff.
Fun.
And so I use something called Snagit a lot.
Yes, I love Snagit.
And so, because I can...
Now I know why you want the clipboard.
Excuse me.
No, now I understand. Now I know, because you pile in images onto the clipboard. I understand that now, yeah.
And so I can, edit them and change them and then put them in images that I find and whatnot.
Annie, it sounds wonderful. I'd love to see your art. You've got to get a website.
I know. I don't. I'm so...
Oh, you're doing all right. If you're reading Major Geek, that's good. You're doing all right.
What is it? Snap Files? What's the other site I use?
Not sure. Hey, I got to run, Annie. Yeah. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. I love it. Ding dong. Ring Video Doorbell time. Where is it? Oh. This thing, every day I get my doorbell rings or somebody's out front, and I just go, thank you, Ring. Because when somebody rings my doorbell at home, it rings my phone here, and I can look who's at the door. I can talk to them. They can hear me. I can hear them. I could see the high-def video. Even when somebody's just on my doorstep and doesn't ring the doorbell, actually, that's even more important. It has motion detection built in. This is the best thing I ever installed on my house. I love it. I want you to try it. Ring Video Doorbell. It's from Ring.com. And actually, if you go to our Ring.com website, our special website, ring.com/tech guy, you're going to get free expedited FedEx shipping. So if you're in a hurry, this is a great way to get your Ring Video Doorbell. What does it do? Well, it replaces your existing doorbell. Now, you don't have to have a wired doorbell. If you do, it'll just attach right to those wires. And you can see in the package, they include everything. You need a drill bit and a screwdriver. You don't necessarily need. You probably won't need a drill bit, but it's there if you need it. A level, so you can install it nice. And see this USB cord? That's because it doesn't have to be a wired doorbell. It's got a battery in it, too. Good for a year. So you can charge up the battery on the USB, then put it out on your doorstep. Every year, you can unhook it, charge it up, put it back on. The Ring Video Doorbell. It ties into your Wi-Fi so that you can see who's there. That's that big camera. It's great. I mean, we have a listener, Neo, who has a Ring Video Doorbell, has video of the bad guy who rang his doorbell to break in, thwarted in the act by the Ring Video Doorbell. I think you're going to love this thing. Richard Branson loves it. He just let an investment round of $28 million into it. Ring's doing a lot of great things, including the Chime. If you don't have a wired doorbell, you can get the Ring Chime. Put this on your front door. Put the Chime inside, plug it into the wall, and you'll have a doorbell that rings inside. But see, what I love is I can never hear the doorbell, even at home. It rings my phone, rings my tablet, it rings everything. When somebody's at our door, we know. Never miss another Chinese food delivery. Ring.com/tech guy. USA Today and Time Magazine both called it one of the top 10 gadgets of last year. And I think it's just awesome. Ring.com/tech guy. And by the way, you'll be really glad to know Ring has an auto update feature. In fact, they've used this to keep your Ring secure. So a security publisher said, hey, wait a minute, if somebody steals your Ring, they can get your Wi-Fi password. So Ring fixed it before it was even public because they could just push the updates out. I love that. This is the way it should be done. They're doing it right. Ring.com/tech guy. Get it today with free expedited FedEx shipping. Ring.com/tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. Back to the phones we go. Richard, Westminster, California. Hi, Richard. Thanks for hanging on.
No problem, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I've got a quick question about my iMac Gmail account. I've had this computer probably 7-8 months now.
Okay.
And I've got a Gmail account.
Yep.
And everything worked fine. Every once in a while, I would look and I'd see maybe one, maybe two junk emails, and I'd just get rid of them. And then maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden I open up my mailbox and I've got like 450 emails all at one time. So the problem is it constantly does it. So I'll go in.
You'll delete them and then they come right back.
I'll delete them. I'll get rid of them. And then the next morning I'll turn on my computer, check my email. And I've got, 600, 750, and it's just all the same stuff. You know, some of it, you might have one email and have like six different copies of the same junk email on there.
That is frustrating.
So I just wondered if there's any way I can fix that so I don't have to keep just getting rid of the junk out of the email.
Have you gone to gmail.com to look at what's going on there?
No, I have not.
All right, so that's the first thing. I mean, your Apple email program is just reflecting what's going on at Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I would do is log into gmail.com,
Okay. And
there's a spam button there. The Gmail's anti-spam is fantastic. It's the best I've ever used.
Okay.
And one of the reasons is it's something we call a collaborative filter. So when you get and occasionally you'll get spam for Gmail. I don't get anywhere near what you're getting, but occasionally get spam. If you do, there's a button on the email that says this is spam. And the reason I want you to do that, and I want you to do it for several of them, is what Gmail does is keeps track of people people's saying this is spam. And if enough people say something spam, they say, oh, because humans are better at this than a computer. Oh, this must be spam. We must have missed it. Our computer algorithms missed it. But we're going to make sure nobody else gets that. My suspicion is that this spam got through and you got them all at one. Are they all similar?
Well, they're all the same type, singles and all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, nothing really.
I think you're going to get better results if you just. You won't have to do this all the time, but Okay. If you do start getting spam, go to Gmail and mark it spam. Just go through them and mark it spam. And almost certainly Gmail will wake up and say, whoa, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to send you that. That's clearly spam, and you won't see it ever again.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a great day, huh?
You do, too. And this is one of the reasons I like Gmail. Besides, it's free. It has a lot of capacity, more than most mail servers. Google does a nice job with it, keeping it up to date, adding features. But mostly I like it. In fact, if you only use it for this one thing, which is frankly pretty much all I use it for, is the spam filtering. It is so good because it's collaborative. Because if it doesn't catch it algorithmically using software, it will listen to you. And when you have I don't know how many hundreds of millions of people use Gmail, but it's quite a few. It's easily the most popular email package out there, web-based email package out there. So it's getting a lot of feedback from its users. And so it gets all the spam. And if a new trick works to get past the filters, and that's what I think happened to you, is somebody found a trick. By signaling spam, you're kind of blocking that trick in the future. You shouldn't have to do it very often. But every once in a while, if you're seeing spam in your Gmail, go to gmail.com and mark it spam there. Let it know there. Doing it in Apple Mail won't signal signal Gmail. It just signals Apple Mail. And that, you know, Apple Mail does have some spam protection. I don't find it anywhere near as good as Gmail. 1 billion users, somebody said. I think that's actually right. That's a lot. 1 billion people using anything is a lot. Chris is in Miami, Florida. Hi, Chris. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for calling. Good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you. Could I just say something before I just ask you about this developer thing that's been going on with me?
Could I even stop you? Go ahead, Chris.
God. Thank you so much. So yesterday, at the end of your call, some guy challenges you about Lifeline?
It was somebody in the chat room. It wasn't on the air, but some listener in the chat room said, oh, Leo's lying. He's never used LifeLock. So now, I normally just let that slide.
Right.
But I don't like to be called a liar. And this was off the air. This was not on the show. So I just brought up the LifeLock page and showed him my account. Showed him my bills.
I noticed that.
Yes.
I'm like, why?
I shouldn't respond. You know what? He got my goat.
I guess so. You know,
I have a goat, and it can be gotten. I'm a flawed human, and apparently not such a great goat.
Well, it's hard to tell. You look perfect from my end.
Chris, I'm running out of time. Hang on, I will get your question right after the break. Can we do that?
Yes.
Because I don't want to. Yeah, you know, it's funny. The world, the internet is full of, I guess we call them trolls. Like people pop out from under bridges and say bad things. And usually I just ignore it because it's, you know, it's harmless. It's just people. But, you know, every once in a while I go, wait a minute. I am not a liar. And I can show you. And it's nice when you can just pull up the records and say, see, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I feel bad for Mrs. Castle because I'm sure she didn't mean in any really to insult me. Really, it's a statement mostly on the absolutely true observation that advertising in general is just a bunch of hooey, right? I mean, do you think Peyton Manning uses Nationwide? I don't know. There actually are, believe it or not, the Federal Trade Commission does have rules about endorsement ads. I'm not allowed to. It is a violation of federal law, or at least regulation, for me to endorse something I don't use.
Yeah, you're really supposed to use it.
That is actually, we have training. In fact, I have to do my training. I haven't done my training. They're mad at me. In fact, we got two trainings for Clear Channel.
I got them, too. They were
You are a Clear Channel
well,
employee.
Well, for this.
You work, yeah. So there's a DMCA training I have to do.
Which has absolutely nothing to do with us, by the way, because it's got to do with playing music.
I can't.
It's
Anyway, it's okay. There's a Plugola training, which...
There's that, too.
But one of the things that they said that I got training on was you're not allowed to do ads. This was actually not so long ago, a few months ago. You're not allowed to do ads for stuff you don't use. Don't say you use it if you don't. That's a violation of federal regulation. So, there. So, I guess Peyton Manning does use Nationwide. Actually, he doesn't say... Okay, he doesn't say he uses Nationwide. He just hums. That, by the way, the most inspired ad campaign ever. Isn't it? All you have to do now is go, bobblehead, do I really look like that? It's brilliant. Brilliant.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Yes, exactly. It's pretty. So he's, and I guess they say probably at some point he's a compensated endorser and all that stuff. Well, I'm a compensated. I'm getting paid, sort of. Actually, I mean, it's not like LifeLock writes me a check. But I guess that's how I make my living, so I guess I'm a compensated endorser. They don't pay me directly. Clear Channel makes money, or Premier makes money.
And then they pay.
And then Premier pays me to be there on the radio. But so it's kind of indirect. It's not like I get the LifeLock guys come in and say, here's your money. You could, if you wish.
Back up.
I would like a free subscription. But
back up the Brinks truck to your house.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I pay for subscriptions for all this stuff. Like people say, oh, you must get lots of free Audible. No, I pay for everything. I just feel like ethically that's just the way you should do it. I don't want a freebie from LifeLock or Audible or any of the things, guys, we do ads for. You know what, Emily the Strange? It might be a new regulation. I don't remember it before. I'd never been told that before. I've always had that as a personal policy, but I was very gratified to see that.
I think it might be sort of new because I know a lot of people who don't use the products
right.
they endorse.
Right.
Or didn't in the past. I won't
it's probably more that. Like you can't say you use it if you don't use it. I mean, you can do an ad. You know, if Paul Harvey does an ad for Bose that about how great the Bose thing is, unless he says, I have it at home, he probably doesn't right. have to use it. And there's stuff that we do ads for that I can't, that it's not for me. I can't use Braintree because I'm not a mobile app developer. So, but I think it's obvious in the ad that I'm not saying, hey, I use Braintree and you should too. I say Uber uses it and other people. So, I don't know. Actors, if you're doing a general genital herpes ad, you, that's right. You don't have to actually. Yeah, what if, you know what? That's a good point. The Viagra ads. You know, okay, Bob Dole. Bob Dole said he used it, so he must have used it.
There have been many a conversation about having off-air people do ads for stuff like that because you don't want to make it sound like
right. Well, Nutrisystem, a lot of the diet stuff that I did Nutrisystem like 30 years ago, but a lot of those they get people at the radio station to do it because they want to do a testimonial.
Metabolife?
Oh,
yeah. I know somebody who made about 30 grand a year on
yeah,
that alone.
That was a pyramid scheme, kind of. Or no, I'm sorry, multi-level marketing. Yeah, I remember that. Now, before the break, we started talking to Chris in Miami, Florida, and we got cut off by advertising. How dare they?
I mean, really?
Really? No, you know what's great? I am very proud to have worked for my whole life, almost 40 years. It'll be 40 years in September in ad-supported broadcasting, ad-supported radio and TV. And I love it because it's free. It's available everywhere, available to everyone. And advertisers make that possible. And I think that's a great thing. You wouldn't want everything to be subscription. Not everybody can afford HBO.
No.
And I love being in ad-supported free media. And if it's done properly, I think it's great.
I talk to people about you. I mean, every day I talk to someone in tech, and I refer them to you all the time. All the time.
Thank you, Chris.
All the time. I talked to a guy last week, and he wants to have some questions. And I said, well, go to this website, twit.tv. You can get
Thank
the
you.
App. You can get it everywhere. 8888 Leo on the weekend. You can call in. You get the phone ranger, a Miss Kim, and I said, you know what? You know, but you think about it, though, Leo, for real. We don't have what you offer anywhere.
Thank goodness I don't have competition.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you look at it in the tech industry, where else can you call into a radio show?
No, it's true.
Seriously, I mean, and you put your time in, and then you get these trolls who have got some nerve.
Oh,
like that guy at Whole Foods Market. Hey, buddy.
Oh, don't.
I found his twin.
No, yeah. You know what? People have bad days, that's all. I don't hold it against them. It's okay. It's okay. You know, if you're a public in the public eye, and to some small degree I am.
It's going to happen.
I've been doing this for, as I said, 40 years. You just, you know, it's, you know, brush it off. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
I wonder
sometimes how people get so unhappy and cranky. I feel like, oh, come on. Can I give you an ice cream cone? Cheer up. It's okay.
I think we should go further than that. Put a statue of you in downtown Petaluma.
No. You know, there. We had a very beloved newspaper man here in town named Bill Soberanis, and his claim to fame was he brought wrist wrestling, the World Wrist Wrestling Championships, to Petaluma.
Oh.
And there is a statue, a hideous statue, actually, of two forearms in a death grip of wrist wrestling. And it's dedicated to, and then it's got his head behind it. And it's dedicated to Bill Soberanis. It's downtown. I don't want that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, all right.
But we'll do remember him as a result. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a little bit. So I wanted to ask you, I'd never call you a liar. Never. I would never disrespect you. But moving on. What is the story with developers? I've been on the phone now for 2 weeks with Apple. Apparently, they don't have to reach back out to you if you communicate with them. They can basically tell you to F off.
Well, what is your problem? What are you telling them?
Well, I had asked them. I had downloaded this one app. It's similar to YouTube. It's called AutoTube, best playing in the business besides YouTube. And it used to work on Wi-Fi. And now it doesn't work on Wi-Fi no more. So,
but that's not Apple's problem. That's AutoTube's problem.
Right, but I communicated with them, and like four times, they have a page, the letter IDAI1, and it's blank. I mean, you literally cannot...
Well, it sounds like AutoTube went out of business. I hate to tell... Or are you talking about Apple?
No, I mean, but this is not only just this one app. This is many apps that I pay for, that a lot of us pay for. Apparently, the developers refuse or don't have to get back in touch with you. They have
absolutely. That's welcome to the real world. I mean, if, you know, we were just talking to... Who was our caller who had the was the painter? And she said, you know, this app doesn't work anymore. The clipboard app doesn't work anymore because they went out of business. That's what happens. Apps don't live forever. And even though the bits may survive, there's no guarantee that the developer will stay in business. In fact, if you think about it, most apps, that's what happens. They go out of business. You know, in fact, I wish some apps would go out of business. There's some apps that go on and on and on. So, Chris, I sympathize with you, but that is life, isn't it, in the big city? I don't know what's going on. This is my Windows Surface Book. It seems to be signaling aliens.
It looks like a disco going on in your...
It's spinning, it's blinking, it's green. So, by the way, love you, Microsoft, but I bought this Surface Book at great expense. This was the first laptop Microsoft ever made. It was a lot of money. And much more than competing laptops, but it's pretty design, and it's got a detachable screen. And they even know, they came out in, I think, the fall, September, October, and they even know that it's got problems. And they say, we'll fix this.
Could be worse than the blue screen of death.
It's really annoying, isn't it? They said, we're going to fix that. And this month? No, not this month, but we're going to fix that. We know there's problems. They literally said... It's a difficult computer science problem to fix this laptop. Okay. I thought that was the business you were in. Joe, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey,
hello.
Joe. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. What can I do for you?
Well, I have a question regarding a GPS connection.
Yeah,
I have the LG G2. It's the D801 model from T-Mobile.
Okay,
and I've had this phone for almost 2 years. I've installed a custom ROM. The phone is rooted, and this is my little Frankenstein. I've opened her up and replaced the camera when it went
nice,
bad, including the earpiece.
Isn't that great? It's so cool that you could do stuff like that. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, definitely. And and even the phone used to be a black model. And I've replaced the screen bezel to the white model.
Now, you're doing this more because you're into it than you... I mean...
Exactly.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, definitely.
Neat.
So I've gone to the XDA forums to look for answers regarding GPS issues.
That's the place.
Yes. And a few have suggested that, like, different file settings or... Some have actually said that it could actually be the SIM card. I'm using Cricket Wireless.
You know, I'll tell you the real issue. It's probably the custom ROM you're using. It is really common, and certainly if you've done a lot of rooting and ROMing on an Android device, you know this, that the custom ROMs don't support all the hardware perfectly. Sometimes the camera doesn't work right. A lot of times
right.
The GPS doesn't work right. So I would take a look, if you could, at the ROM itself and look at the developer notes and see if they know that they have problems with that model and that ROM.
So it could be a radio issue.
Yeah, or it could be a software issue. It may not. In other words, it may not be a hardware issue. It's not at all uncommon for... I remember many times putting Cyanogen Mod, which is very popular third-party mod. So for people who don't know, Android devices can very easily be modified. Just like any computer. It's really more like a computer that you could put a different operating system on it. Well, you could do the same with Android devices. Depends on the manufacturer to a greater or lesser degree. But a lot of times these alternate operating systems are written by hobbyists. And so they don't always work out of the box perfectly. And a lot of times what doesn't work is direct hardware support for unusual devices attached to the phone, like the GPS radio, like the camera, like a fingerprint reader. So I would actually look into the ROM itself and see maybe if there's an updated one. If you're using CM, CM's several times I've seen problems with CM and GPS devices. So I wouldn't assume hardware issues, although given how much you've modified that phone, it absolutely could be as well. You got a Frankenphone, and I like it. Lou is on the line from Del Mar, California. Hi, Lou. Leo here, the tech guy.
Yeah,
run over to the phone, Lou. Stop watching the Super Bowl. The Superb Owl.
I didn't think I was going to get to you today.
Well, I'm running through the calls.
Wow, wonderful. I got to talk to you about a problem because I'm mad as heck.
And I'm not going to take it anymore. I'll tell you what, hang on, because we got to take a break. You're going to be right out of the break, okay, Lou?
Thank you.
Yes, don't go anywhere. 8888-ASK, Leo. We got another break to go. Taking your calls, talking high tech. Stay right here. What the heck is going on? All right. Turn it off. See, this is handy. If ever I want to signal somebody, this is what I can do with my Surface Book Pro, my $1,400 Surface Book Pro. I can signal people. Thank goodness my Epson printer works better than that. Have I told you lately how much I love my Epson printer? I've been an Epson guy for a long time. I mentioned the MX-80, one of my first dot matrix printers, the FX-80. Love the Epson printers. I've used Epson artisan printers, the photo printers, for years. In fact, Epson was the first printer company to do black and white printing for photographers. Right. They solved a tricky problem called metamerism. They know their stuff. And then they added, I was so impressed, the new Precision Core engine, which they developed for the big industrial printers. That, it's almost, the technology in these printers is mind-boggling. 40 million drops of ink a second, because they're picoliters. They're tiny little drops, giving you text that's super crisp, colors that are vivid and bright. Because they're inkjet, there's no warm-up time. And now they've done this that just blows me away, the Epson EcoTank printers. This is a case of a company listening to their customers and doing the right thing. People said, Epson, we don't want to run out to the store halfway through a print job to buy more ink. We want more ink in the box. And Epson did it. The EcoTank printers, they come with up to 2 years of ink in the box. Like this Epson, this is the one we have at home, the ET4550. Lisa bought it. I have another Epson, the old Precision Core, the Workforce Pro, in my office. She said, I want the new one. I'm buying it. I put the ink in. It was really easy to set up. 11,000 black pages worth of ink. That's about 2 years. 50 ink cartridges worth of ink in the box. It goes into the little ink reservoirs. And when you run out, very low-cost replacement ink bottles. That's it. It's easy. They even have, this is a whole line of Super Tank printers, including for the big workforces. Some of them come with 20,000 pages worth of inks in the box. It's amazing. And you get all the great features of the Epson Precision Core technology, 30-page auto document feeders and easy wireless printing. It prints from my phone. It prints from my tablet. I can scan to my cloud. There's just so many great features. And all of this with the freedom to print without running out of ink. An unbeatable combination of convenience and value. Epson EcoTank printers. If you're in the market for a new printer for your home or for your office, you must check out Epson's EcoTank printers. E-P-S-O-N, Epson.com/EcoTank. Loaded and ready to print for up to 2 years of ink. In the box. In the box. Epson, exceed your vision. Since the thing with the Surface Book is you just, as a Surface Book owner... You just get used to this stuff. I think this is a firmware issue, but. All right. So what I need to do is press and hold and turn it off, I think. Just hold it. Okay. Now it's off. And boot it up. Oh, it's not off. Oh. Okay. Press and hold. Come on. Go off. Isn't that how you turn it off? You just continue to hold it? That just put it to sleep, I guess. Okay, so turn off. Turn off. Turn off. Turn off. Turn off. Undock it first. I don't think you can undock it if it's not working. That's the problem with this electronic docking. Leah Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. Okay, Lou, sorry about that. From Del Mar, California. What can I do for you today?
Well, I have an LG G4 I bought about 6 months ago.
Okay.
Actually, partially on your recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it has been overheating.
Uh-oh.
And then it eats up the battery. I'm afraid it's going to explode into fire.
No, it's not, but those are tied together because the overheating and the bad battery are because some application is running and running. And running.
Well, I have turned off the apps. This is my third one now.
They
replaced it. I've had three different batteries. And I found on, first I thought it was me, but then I looked at a consumeraffairs.com website, which I don't know how good it is, but several other people have had the same problem.
Interesting. It's not unusual with Android phones in general, or all phones, frankly, to have... This happened. I've had it happen on an iPhone where an app just won't stop, and it just kills the battery. And in the and the reason it kills the battery is because the app's working, the processor's going up. On the G4, I'm trying to remember. I think this was an 810 process, Snapdragon 810 processor. And one of the reasons that Samsung decided not to use the 810 was exactly this. The 810 overheated, frankly, and as a result, actually, you know what? They're using an 808. I take it all back. I've just checked. They're using a smarter chip, frankly, than the 810. Not as fast, but a little bit better in terms of power usage. I'm not sure. You might have a lemon. You might have had several lemons. I did not have that problem with my G4, but the reason it's hard to find these problems is because we all have different sets of applications running, different combinations.
Minimal apps.
Well, what happens when you turn, if you reboot the phone, turn it off, all the way off, power down, or restart. I think there's a restart command in this turn off menu on that phone.
Been there, done all of it.
And it does it immediately start heating up again?
Not immediately. But it will, and it does it sort of irregularly, just like these other people have complained.
Well, I got to warn you, with a consumer device like a smartphone, millions of people have these. Even if 0.01% have a problem, it's going to show up as thousands of posts. So you can't necessarily globalize and say, well, this is a universal problem. I haven't heard of a universal overheating problem with a G4. It did not happen to me in the time I had the G4. I had it for a few months. I did abandon the phone mostly because I couldn't get used to the fingerprint reader on the back. And I wasn't, even though people raved about the camera, I was not as crazy about it as some were. It uses laser focusing. But it
doesn't have a fingerprint reader.
Yours doesn't have a fingerprint reader?
No.
I thought it did.
What can I do? I don't want the same model. I've already been through.
Yeah, don't get another. Look, the truth is, on an Android phone these days, I just say get a Nexus 6P. Get the Google.
But they want me to pay for this one. They will not transfer me to another phone.
Well, now it's time to call the Consumer Affairs Division of the state of California.
Really?
Yes, because it's a lemon. And so there are lemon laws. That product is not working. You've replaced it how many times? Three times?
Yes, sir.
And it continues to have problems?
Yes, sir.
You want your money back. And I think that that's what you say to – did you buy it online or buy it from a store?
No. I've talked to the manager three times. I've wasted, a whole shift in the store just waiting to speak to people.
It's very frustrating.
Yes.
I think you have a legitimate consumer complaint. This is a product that does not work as advertised. It overheats, the battery dies. You're not so you've actually run it without any additional application installs?
No, I have bare minimum. I took off Waze, I took off...
And the stuff you're using is pretty standard?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, somebody in the chat room says, I have a G4, mine doesn't overheat. I mean, I don't think they all overheat, but it sounds like it is a problem. Maybe contact LG directly.
How?
Yeah, good question. They're in Korea. They must have a...
Well, they sent me to the Philippines, I think. The girl was nice enough to call me back after I...
Oh, wow. Good for you.
But the supervisors weren't available to speak to.
Yeah. I feel like this is something that you can go to the Consumer Affairs Division of the state of California and say to them, this is a problem. Get them involved. Get them to write a letter. Because you have a legitimate complaint. This is the third one. They all do the same thing. It may be... I mean, it may be a problem with that particular one. It may be software that you use and no one else uses. Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's a problem with that particular, with that phone, that model, and you got three bad ones in a row. You could keep trying until you get one that doesn't do that, or you, I don't know what to say. I did not have that problem. Would not have recommended it, of course, if it had that problem when with the unit I had. I bought, where did I get mine? I'm pretty sure I bought it from a carrier. Can't always remember. I've got a nice leather back. It's a good looking phone, but I did not have that problem. I'm sorry that you're having this problem. And all I could say is, you know, this is like any consumer issue. You're not getting satisfaction from the vendor. Then you've got to go to the consumer affairs folks, I guess. There is an LG America office. Might call them. Write a letter to the president. I don't know. Hey, Greg, British Columbia, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. I have a horse in my throat, or it was a frog earlier this week. Very quickly, my recommendation, if you have an old computer and you want to boot from a USB stick and your computer does not recognize the operating system or the device,
yes,
download from rodsbooks.com, Refind.
I don't know this one. Rod's
it's
Books?
A boot manager that is a fork of the Refit program, the Refit project.
Oh, and this works with EFI ROMs, not just BIOS ROMs. That's why it's called Refine. It's R-E-F-I-I-N. R-E-F-I-N.
I'm looking at my 2006 Mac Pro, revision 1.1, and it's running up-to-date Ubuntu.
That's nice. You know what? This is a.
I love it.
I've been looking for a good modern boot manager. I've been recommending GAG for
highly
a long
recommend
time.
It.
But the problem is, of course, these modern secure ROMs and the secure boot ROMs defeat many boot managers. This is designed for UEFI and EFI. Great tip. And a good way to end this show. Thank you, Kim Schaffer. Thank you, Nathan State and Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Have a great geek week.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today and Tech News Tonight. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.